those problems that I imagine are acute. Acute. That means it's just that problem just rose and it must be solved. And then the one that is, you know, ongoing is called chronic. And he used the story in Mark 5. In Mark 5, there are three major stories there, but that's the madman of Gadara delivered. But he focused on the last two. That is Jairus' daughter and the woman with the issue of blood. In Mark chapter 5, we see the story unfold. I think that should be from verse 20. And when Jesus crossed over to the other side, a man came to him named Jairus. And he said, "Please, my daughter is very sick at the point of death. She's 12 years old. And that sickness just developed. That's acute. The other woman had..." Verse 21, please. "When Jesus has crossed over to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea." Please, let's keep. "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.'" Let's hold on there. We realize that this girl, later on at the end of the chapter, that she's 12 years old. But she had not been sick for 12 years. It was something that just came. It was an emergency. And, you know, it's not the kind that Jesus would say, "Oh, look, I just came back from a ministry trip. I'm tired. I can maybe next week." No. He said, she's lying at the point of death, emergency. In fact, before the end of the day, the girl actually died before Jesus raised her up. So some of those problems just are acute, emergency. But as he went on, verse 25, in verse 25, he says, "Now a certain woman had the flow of blood for 12 years." She had had the problem ongoing for 12 years. The little girl was also 12 years, but the problem just came acutely, emergency. So it says that there are problems that we have that are not acute. Most of our problems are not acute. They are not emergency. They are not acute. They are chronic. He used also a word in management. He used management parlance to call those words systemic and non-systemic. All right? What is chronic is systemic. The one that is not chronic or the one that is acute is non-systemic. Then he gave examples that we may understand. He said, for example, you have a rent issue, a rent problem. My rent is 300,000 and I have to pay it next week. Now, it's actually not an emergency because that problem, quote unquote, has been there 12 months ago. It had been there for 12 months, just like she had 12 years problem. It had been there for 12 months. So it is not acute. It's a chronic thing. And he says, okay, when it is a systemic problem and we try to solve it with the way we solve an acute problem, it will not totally be solved. Okay? Why can I not pay that my 300,000 naira rent at that time? Now, if maybe something happened emergency a week or two before, my rent was already ready, I was gathering it, then something happened, then that is emergency. Something happened, so I had to put the 300,000, is that something, maybe hospital bill for something and someone, you know. But if not, then it's systemic. And the way to solve it is not just by saying, four people, raise 300, and when they pay it, if that thing that cost it is not solved, it will still remain. It will still occur again the following year. And so, there is a way to solve systemic problems. That's why he said, he brought that verse, let everything be done decently and in order. I gave another illustration which really helped me. He said, for example, somebody has malaria and is shivering under the malaria. And then we say, okay, let's treat him. But we treat him of malaria, anti-malaria drug. The person gets healed. But the problem really is that where he lives, there is no mosquito net. So we treat that immediate malaria problem. But 2 weeks later, I know Felix's mosquito bite again. So it's a systemic problem. It will keep on reoccurring unless we solve that problem by putting mosquito nets on the windows. Remember, we are looking at the message of March, overcoming personal challenges. And I said there are two segments, and this is how Reverend came, this first segment. All right. The root cause of the systemic problem is what should be looked at, and not to have a fireman brigade approach at the problem itself. Because if we do, it will keep on recurring. I will keep on saying, God, why? What is happening? He also said, like we have systemic problems, we also have systemic answers. Like we have systemic problems, we have systemic answers. And then he gave an example of a man of God. He said he read it in the 80s and it helped him. About a man of God who needed $1 million. I'm praying that I'll grow. So I'll need $1 million. I remember when one man became president years ago and he declared his asset. They saw his asset and his debts. And he was owing something billion naira. And people were saying, so these rich people have debts too. I think if I owe 1 billion naira, it's a good thing. That means I have the resources, the structure to generate welcome. Before they borrow me 1 billion. So if the man of God needed $1 million, can you ask God now that, Lord, I need $1 million? We will grow to that point. So the man of God was praying, Lord, I need $1 million. Lord, I need $1 million. It was real need in the ministry. There were needs. There were things on ground. And they needed $1 million. Let me help you. $1 million is 1 billion naira now. Unfortunately for the naira. Okay. So he said, the Lord asked him, okay, do you want me to give you bandage for your wound? Or you want a breakthrough? Is it a bandage you want? Or a breakthrough? If I give you that $1 million to solve those immediate needs and to get all those needs, I'll just bandage your wound. But if you want breakthrough, so that you will not need to come back and ask for $1 million again, I will teach you what to do. So the man goes, give me breakthrough. I don't need bandage. And can you imagine what the Lord told him? He said, start giving 10% of your gross income in the ministry to the poor. That was the solution. That was a systemic solution to his systemic problem. Tithe your gross ministry income to the poor. And so he started to do that. And he started to give to ministries like Reinhard Bonnke coming to Africa and other ministries. And that solved the problem. He didn't need to come to God on an emergency mode again to ask for $1 million because the resources kept coming in and growing. So he now asks the question, will the challenges ever end? As ministers, as God's children, is there a time that we will not have challenges anymore? That we will not have problems anymore? Let's say as a church now, I know what my own problems are. As a church, as a pastor, I know what our problems are. Let's now assume that that problem is solved. Let's talk about growth problems now, numeric growth. And I'm praying, Lord, increase us. Lord, let's 500. So if that problem is solved, and we're now 500 congregation, does it mean we'll have problem again? So he took us to Exodus 23. Exodus 23, we're looking at verse 29 and 30. Exodus chapter 23, verse 29 and 30. So God is talking here to Moses. He said, I will not drive them out. That's the enemy, the problem, the challenge. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Verse 30. Little by little, I will drive them out. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Until you have increased and you inherit the land. And he says, little by little. Because if I drive all of them out at a time, what will you do with all the remaining land? Bush will grow, animals will take over. There's nobody there. But when you have increased, when your capacity has increased, Reverend said, if God gives you 10 times of your congregation right now, it will nearly kill you. God increase our numbers now times 10 of what we are now. Well, your capacity must be able to handle that increase. The capacity you have developed in yourself must be able to handle that increase. If not, it will be another problem. And so the Lord allows problems in us to help us to grow and to be able to go to the next level. He used the academic structure as an illustration that you can't just jump from kindergarten to be solving calculus. You can say, that guy is so good. Oh, very brilliant boy. Very brilliant boy, right from kindergarten, nursery. When he got to primary one, he was always coming first. Primary two, in fact, we go for competition, he beat all. Let's start teaching him calculus. Let's put him in further math class, SS1. He has not developed the capacity for it. And then finally, we... Judges chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 was the last scripture Reverend used in that segment. Judges chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2. It says, now, these are the nations that the Lord left, that he might test Israel by them. That is, all those who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. Verse 2, please. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it. He said, there are some problems. There's no amount of prayer that anointed man of God comes and prays for you, lays hands on you, as anointed as he is, it will not go. He said, the same way in the lives of your church members, no amount of your prayer or anointing will remove everything. There are people I've been praying for. There are people that have been with us for years and been praying for certain things. One time, there was somebody I've been praying, you know, this person is committed, this person, I've been looking for this for a long time, and I've been praying, a couple, and I've been praying and praying and praying. One time, we had a program in church, and that day, it was a worship meeting. Worship had started in the evening, I was in the office upstairs, and then, while I was in the office, I heard God say, when you get downstairs, call out people who need this particular thing. It actually had to do with job, who need job, and pray for them. Just call them out, lay hands on them, and pray for them. So I heard that while I was praying upstairs. So I came downstairs, and then, that was many years, over 10 years ago, and then I just did exactly what God said. So when I called out the line, maybe about 8 or 9 people came out on the line, and I prayed for them. That was Friday. On Sunday, Somebody came to me with a paper. One of the leaders came and said, Pastor, somebody wants to testify. I said, but you know we don't do that. It's only last Sunday we... I said, okay, let him testify. The person came. I didn't know him before. He came to church for the first time that day. He told a testimony. He'd been out of job for years. That was Friday. Saturday, he got a call. Someone said, can you be a territorial manager somewhere? His wife, too, was without a job. Both of them came. In fact, they came late for that Friday service. A church member invited them. They came late. And the man got a call that Saturday. He resumed the job. He was to resume the job in Benin or something by Monday or so. The wife also got a call that Saturday. I think she got two calls. Pastor Dick, I remember that story. I think she got two calls that Saturday. So she had to travel that Sunday. So the husband came to testify. I said, God, but I have my own people in the church. Leaders in the church. These people, I don't know them from anywhere. I've not seen them since that day till now. But that's how God does his things. That's how he wants to do it. That's how we do it. Let's just keep faith. I'm rounding off now. But that was how we ended the first segment. The second segment, it now came, and the gist of it is that your faith is very important in solving whatever problem or challenge you have. Let us keep on feeding on the word little by little, little by little. I think it was in the April, APF of April, where he emphasized us feeding routinely, dogmatically. It is still the same simple daily feeding that will take care of our growth in faith. And then he showed us 1 Timothy 6:12 or 4:12, 1 Timothy 4:12, that talks about being nourished in the word of faith and of good doctrine. And as we do, our faith keeps increasing. And then we find that when one problem is solved, we have been promoted from nursery 2 to primary 1. And we're able to deal with bigger problems and overcome them in Jesus' name. Let's welcome Reverend as he teaches us keys to numerical growth.
Honestly, I was enjoying this. From my office down, I was coming down, and I just wish we could do that today and do Q&A on it. To be honest with you, I noticed that we need to just hear something over and over again. Pastor Peace did it so beautifully well. You know, in fact, I was listening on Miss LR from my office. So I just said I will not go downstairs until he finished. But I know our time was running. Some of you are waiting for something fresh. But that's just wonderful. That's just wonderful. Trusting God that Pastor Peace will do. Pastor Peace was my church member before. I hope you know. He was just a young man walking into the church. Yes, God. I'm glad that today we are colleagues serving together. Isn't that so beautiful? Let's clap our hands for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just wonderful watching. You could take anything, work with it, and it's so beautiful. And I'm really glad for that. I just wish we could just forget to this topic and work on this one. But we have to get into it. And I'll be waiting for the summary of this one. One of these months to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. I asked him, I said, just take anyone you feel we should take and do that for us. So we have ample time to do that. Praise God. God is good. Please don't get weary. The Pentecostal people have not learned how to live in between. We've learned how to start, and we pray for you to finish well. You are not yet 45. They say pray for you to finish well. In between is where the real job is. The in between. And the in between is tough. Some things I'm going to say today that you never had before. That is very important. And I'm just going to really be honest with us here today. Praise God. I said, praise God. Can we get up on our feet? Let's thank God for who we are, for the work he has given us, and for the churches that we pastor. Can we just lift our hands? Let's just thank God for who we are. Let's thank God for who we are, for the church we pastor, for our family. Bible says, in all things, give thanks. Just thank God. Whatever is happening in your life right now, whatever work you are doing right now, whatever church you pastor or whatever ministry you are leading, you can just lift your hands and say, Lord, I appreciate you for the gift of life, for the gift of grace, for the gift of walking in your vineyard. Thank you that you have called me, you have chosen me. Thank you. Glory to Jesus. I appreciate you today for all you are doing for me and for my family. Now, I know you will say, it's not enough. It's never enough. But God is enough for us. He said, my name is more than enough. That's El Shaddai. Let's thank you. You are my more than enough. And I want to thank you that you are making it more than enough. Thank you. I refuse to walk by sight. I walk by faith. I refuse to go by what I see. I want to thank you in faith. Jesus took 5 loaves and looked at the 5,000. But he didn't complain. He gave thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Finally, before you sit down, thank God for that person next to you. Just thank God for their lives. Thank God for their ministry. Thank God for their family. And appreciate God for their lives. Hallelujah. Let's appreciate God. Give thanks for their lives. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank the person for thanking God for you. You can have your seat. Praise God. We have Pastor Peace will come back to do some things, but let's start dealing with this today. We said our topic is keys to numerical growth. How many of you have suffered jackpot in your church? Thank you. Some people are still living tomorrow in my church. And the family will come and join. They almost go in every week thereabout. People go almost every week, but almost close to that. And the only answer to it is to keep on growing. I came to see years ago that church will never stay static. People will come and go. I saw the verse. Let me show you. That's why you should read the Bible. God will enlighten you with a lot of things you won't hear from any father in the land. If you read the Bible, because the Father in heaven is more than the Father in the land. Acts chapter 9. Let me see if I'm correct there. Right. Acts chapter 9. Hallelujah. Look at verse 26. That's when Saul became converted. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe that he was a disciple. He used to be a terrorist before. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly to Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so he was with them at Jerusalem, doing what? Coming in and going out. Do you see that word in your Bible? That is, was Saul. Finally, he was even sent out by the church. They allowed him to go. So, the people, you should not become angry and mad. Nobody was born with you, and nobody will die with you. Are you hearing me? What I just said? They came one day, and they will leave one day. I got people who have been with me for 20-something years, from the beginning of the church. Some of them are not left. Some of them are. But you know what? Everybody has the permission to go anywhere. Nobody is tied to anything anymore except Jesus. Let's get that. And that will influence the way we do church today. Our fathers in the faith did church in such a way to think that you are their members forever. No, you are not the member of Redeem or Rock Foundation. You are the member of the body of Christ permanently. See, you have to do some rethinking and Reprogram it. Thank you, my brother. So, if they come, thank God. But see that you do your part in their lives so that when they go, when they remember you, they'll send you some money. And pray for you that you are critical in their lives. That is so important. That's so important. So, I want us to share some things. I want you to stop thinking like this. They are going. You should be thinking they are going and they are coming. In fact, years ago, there was a doctor that came to our church from Ibadan. And he was with us serving in the teenagers' church, Dr. Uchi. Remember him? Thank you. And his church came from Ibadan to start a branch in town. And they've been calling from the church to help them. I didn't know. So he came to see me, or I called him. And I said to him, I said, you need to go and help your church at Ibadan. He grew up in Ibadan. I said, he said, Pastor, I'm already doing. I said, you should go. He looked at me. I said, you should go. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking 100 food. If I sow one, I'll get 100 back. So, doctor being in church, I said, please go. And he left. He went to go and help that church. I never hold to anybody. The only person I'm going to ask before I go is my wife. My children have already gone. They are not in town. So, who else will I hold? Hallelujah. I've learned, I've never, all these years, asked somebody, why didn't you come to church? Pastor Peace. I never forced anyone to attend service. Even my co-leaders. If it's good enough, you'll come. Yoruba says, Babalawo, that if your juju is really something, you can use to hit your head. So, I learned that knowing what was coming. And honestly, I'm enjoying myself now. Because some of the attitudes and mindsets, I dropped them, knowing what was coming. And that's where we are right now. And I know that church is going to be beyond our four walls. Now we have all this camera that will take things to around the world. Many of us are doing live streaming now. Am I correct? So it's no longer just sitting down in church. It used to be that you are in church or you are in the spirit with us. Now you cannot be in church, in the spirit, and online. Are you hearing me? So I want us to have that the world is increasing. We are about 8 billion people now. Are you hearing me? So we have more than enough people to reach out to. Hallelujah. I want you to do that shift. That shift is so important. Not to hone anybody. We can't hone them. I will say that. I will show you the picture that God gave me. I was praying overnight. The Lord said, Jesus, you just pray and kneel down. I said, show me some picture that can help you today. And so I'm going to share it with us. I want to give us certain things. I put about 7 points down. And we will see how far we can cover them. We are looking at these 7 points. They are not, I don't like to do 7 steps. I want to talk about 7 salient keys that we can use toward numerical growth. Does God want us to grow in number? Let's look at our Bible first of all. Acts chapter 3. The first time church occurred as a church that was New Testament was in Acts 2. The Holy Ghost came, the church was born, and the Bible said this right at the beginning of the church. Hallelujah. Are we there? Let's look at verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to what? To them. Did you see that in your Bible? Now, let's go to verse 46. So continue daily with one accord and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. We'll look at. Okay. Let's look at the verse, chapter 4. Is it chapter 4 now? I want to show you a particular place that something happened that, yes. Yeah, sorry, chapter 4, that's right, verse 3. And they lay hands on the apostle after they finished preaching, or the two of them, Peter and John, and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Now look at that next verse. However, many of those who had the word believe, and the number, see that word number, the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So there was numbering. There were people that were, they're not just kind of gathered together, they're also counting. In fact, Jesus, when he multiplied bread, they counted them. Am I right? There were 5,000 minus women and men. All right. And then, I love to say this. Somebody said, numbers are important to God because God dedicated a whole book in the Bible to numbers. Are you hearing me? So, numbers are not just numbers. They are human beings, which you are going to see in the next couple of minutes. So, that is not bad to talk about number. And then God wants us to increase. In fact, look at Acts 6. This is all over the book of Acts. Are we there? Verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of, see that word again now, and the number of disciples did what? It's like quadrupled greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient. That's even the religious class. The elite start getting saved. There are religious elite. So I want us to see that, but I want us to lay some foundations down. That same church was scattered. Acts 8. Let's go to verse 2. That church, they were scattered. Okay, verse 3. Let's jump. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Next verse. And therefore, those who were scattered, diaspora, the same word for diaspora, like you are explaining today, went everywhere preaching the word. So there was a diaspora, like we're having Japa now. Their own Japa was spiritual, our own is economic. Hello? The church was scattered. Next verse. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, there was a verse I would like you to see. They're talking about when they were all scattered, the apostles stayed back in Jerusalem. They were not scattered. I think that's chapter 8 or chapter 9. Let's take a look. All right. Yeah. I'm trying to find the verse where they were all scattered. Have you read it? Yeah, sorry. It's verse 1. We missed that one out there. Uh-huh. And they were all scattered throughout regions of Judea and Samaria, except who? So they were all, today we say, they're all scattered over Western world. America, Europe, UK, they're all scattered except us, right? So the apostles stayed and stabilized. One of the problems we are going to have is that if we, as ministers, start getting scattered, it may affect the church. But we must also get balanced. We'll come to that in a minute. We'll show that. So let's talk about this keys to numerical growth. Hallelujah. The only way to survive as a church is to keep on growing. If you stop and just get carried away with the number you have now, it's on the way to decrease. Every church is decreasing. Every church is decreasing. Let me give an example. Moment you have a child in the church, start growing, start going to school. After a while, they go to secondary school, they go somewhere. So every church is decreasing. But then you must bring the fact of every church can be also be increasing. So the increasing and the decreasing must be going together. Am I making some sense this morning? I'm taking it very slowly, very cool. I don't want you to think that there's something working against you, just against you. If God be for us. So stop saying all these things are just working against you. So let's start this. Let's start with the first key. Everybody listen to this. Let's start with the key number one. We're dealing with 7 keys today. The key. Now, what is a key? Let's address that first. What is a key? A key is not the answer. A key is for a door. What is a door? A door is a big thing. Am I right? That prevents you from having access into something, right? Now that door, you cannot literally open it by your strength. So there is a small key. Usually the keys are very small. And then you put the key through the door, and what happens? The door will give way, but that's not just enough. You can now enter into what you have on the ground. And you notice something, when you are leaving a place, it's the key you carry with you, not the gate. Your house, you always have the keys, and when you get the key lost, you are in trouble. You don't have access anymore. So what we are going to share is not just something you just learn and throw away. I want you to keep this. Over the years, I've learned to keep this. That I can go anywhere and open the door and have access there. So anywhere you want to, like now you want to go to your bedroom, you have the keys, you lock it. So these are access points to enter. You don't outgrow keys. No matter bigger, some of you over here, you are having gray hair now, your keys still stay the same. So keys are important to have access. Jesus told us to ask, it'll be given to us. Seek, you will find, and knock. The door will be open to you. And usually how the door will be open to you is to be given, so God will give you keys. Are you hearing me? But it won't drag your feet in. You have to pass through and come in yourself. So let's look at these keys. The first key I want us to look at, very simple, and you need to see this. When you are talking about growth, what do you actually mean? Numerical growth. Where does it take place? Now listen very carefully to this. God gave me this example years ago. He's helped me till today. And that key, I always use it. If I want to measure the growth of that supermarket, it's what happens in the shop when they open the door. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Am I making some sense? There can be a gateway transport line to Lagos. I don't even care how much their shares cost in the stock exchange. I don't care who the MD is. I don't care how many employees they have. What matters most to me is when I enter that vehicle and it takes me to Lagos safe and comfortable. Am I right? And the way they will measure their growth is how many take their transport per day entering their car. If I enter their vehicle, they don't take me there, I'm not going to take it next time. Am I making some sense? Let's use another higher example. If I want to travel to Abuja by air, airpiece or whatever they call their name, I don't care how much their shares are costing right now. I don't care how many, what's their gross net cost. I don't care. All I care about is when I get to Lagos, the plane is there. And when I enter, I'm taken to Abuja safe and sound. I don't care their ranking, their position. I don't care who is vice president or marketing. I don't care. What matters to me is that when I enter that plane, that 1.5 hour experience or 1 hour experience, it becomes really so good that next time I can go there. Now, they may have fight, they may have struggle, they may break down, they may have things, but that should not affect me when I enter their plane. Have you ever entered a plane before? You see the flight attendant, they just finished fighting. They give you a smile. Welcome, Mumba. Everybody smile. Think that they are very nice. Well, they are really wicked. But when you are at work, you better be nice. Or else you are losing your job. Now, when we take that to church, what does that mean? If you are talking about numerical growth, increase in number, it happens in our services. Our services are the main point. And that's what pastors don't have sense about. Pastors want to be everything else but being the service. And take the service as more important than anything else. Whether you are secretary to PFN or to CAN, it doesn't matter at all in the city. You can be anything in your organization. You can be the chief driver or the assistant supervisor driver. But when I enter the vehicle, what matters for me to get there? I don't care what your ranking is. I want that journey to be smooth and safe and nice. So many pastors don't know their real assignment. If you see vehicles in town, they will have their vehicles for goods and services. Am I right? I used to write it when I was growing up. Did you still write it on it? So it's not about all that, your position, all your leg, peg, everything. What happens in the service matters most. You see, that company, Arik Airlines, or that supermarket, wherever they get their revenue, is in the shop when they open it. It's what they happen when they are moving up and down. It's what you do. What is most critical to a church is their services. That's where you measure the growth. Am I right? Do you measure growth on Monday morning? So instead of wondering, our church is not growing, ask yourself, what's happening in our services? You know, you can have great name and have a lousy service. You can have wonderful workers and have a lousy service. People don't care what your church is all about. They don't care what you do behind the scene. But when they enter 9 a.m. or 8 a.m. or Tuesday or Friday or Sunday, when they have a wonderful experience, they want to come back and that'll grow. When they have a awful experience, they don't want to come back. So you have to know what to do. Church numerical growth doesn't take so much astronomical. It's what you do in the service. If I come to your church for 3-4 weeks, I know what's wrong with you and why you are not growing. I wish I can attend your services. Yeah, you may look great. You may know the Bible. You may know, like that MD may know the Bible, know everything. But it's what you do in the service. That's what matters. But people don't see that. When the pastor gets angry in the service, you know, it's not wise. Can you imagine a pilot getting angry in the air? Come on, a driver will take you to Lagos. You know, so your services are very critical. Nothing must mess up with your service. Except you are not a pastor. Your services are where you actually experience numerical growth. What do you put? When you leave this, let me show you the Bible. Take a look, 1 Corinthians 14. Paul is talking about services. Then we'll see Jesus himself. But let's look at what Paul said about service first. 1 Corinthians 14. The very first key to make a growth is your service. People don't actually like you. They like your services. That's not true. You know, the reason why I go to that supermarket is not because I like the counter money. No, it's I like the experience in the shop. Praise God. Praise God. Now, branding is going away now. Branding. I'm Redeemed. I'm Trem. I'm RFC. You see, all those people have seen all sorts now. It was good when we were few, but we are so many now. So what would determine the job now? If I go to airport now, there are so many airlines. But some crash, some don't take off quickly. So I just say, I don't mind paying much money. So I can come from Rwanda to your church because I know what I'm getting there. Because even on Monday morning, I come from Rwanda to Okemoson for work. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's take a look. Look at this in your Bible. Paul was talking about a service that was so powerful. Look at verse 24. We're talking about a service. Okay, where do we start from? Let's start from verse 23 to make it clear. Now, therefore, please look at this verse, talking about services. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place, I beg you. You know, people make me laugh. They say that the early church, they never had building. Olodu. The first church in Pentecost that happened, it was a big building they have. They have Solomon's porch that could take 8,000 people. Church. I mean, can you imagine? Go and check your Bible and act. Solomon's colony, take 8,000 people. In Ephesus, Paul was teaching in the school of Tyrannus for 2 solid years. So they had building. They had one place. It may be a parlor, but they have one place. And he said, if you come to a service, all church come together in one place, and all speak with tongues, and they are coming, those who are uninformed or unbelievers, don't say that you are out of your mind. See, some services, they are like speaking in tongues. You can't understand what's going on. Some people's services. You just see... When you come in like that, only 15. They have their lingo, their language, they have the way they talk. They are not clear. Hierarchy is too much. So what do you want to do? Vamos, will you come back? Are you blessed? What will I say? Benny, I won't come back next week. I don't want to stay there for long. In fact, any church you go to and you feel sad you are going to church, it's not a church. People should be, your service, you should be wake up in the morning and say, I want to get to church. It's not about the paparazzi. Don't get me wrong. So number one, this is important. He said, don't be speaking in tongues in the service. You're not talking tongues. It doesn't have sense. I had you teaching about, they were hearing them in their own language. I listened to the whole thing, you know. Is that even when they are speaking to us, they are Pentecost, they were hearing them. That's why they came and were asking questions. If they are not, you're just like, they will say, I'll be because they say, well, something wrong with them. So some of us over here, our service, they say, something wrong. He said, is pastor mad? Are they fighting? Who is fighting women? Who is fighting? Who want to come back? Look at next verse. I love this. But if all prophesy, you are speaking direct, clear message that is spoken to people. And an unbeliever or an unformed person comes in, is convinced by all, is convicted by all. Next verse. And what does he do? And thus the secret of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. When last did he say about your service? Now God is here. That when you finish preaching and the choir sing and they get together so well, that my God, you want to come back. Praise God, somebody. But you don't have time. You are busy running ministry and you forget your services. Any company that busy running administration doesn't take care of their endpoint users, they are finished. I don't care what happens in your workers' meeting and your leaders' meeting and all your pastoral meetings. See that your services are not killed. And they are not survived. They are thriving. Jesus had problems in his ministry. Pharisees were fighting him big time. Disciples were confused. But the services were enormous. Let's see. Matthew 4. Hallelujah. Am I making some sense? Any father, apostle can lay hands on you. They can pour galawa of oil on your head. What to do your service? That's what makes your service. They want to do wedding. They come say, I want to have that apostle or prophet or my father in the Lord to lay hands on me for my wedding. That won't make your marriage succeed. It's what you do day by day in that marriage. The service point of, hello, how are you? That's what makes marriage survive. It's not whoever lay hands on you. They can pour God out of hell from heaven on you. Even Christ can attend your wedding. The wine will finish. Praise the Lord. Are we here? Let's go to Matthew 4. So, key point number one, your services. Stop lamenting about growth. Start talking about services. And if you do that, heaven will back you up. Amen, somebody? Amen. Let's look at Matthew 4. Take a look at this. Matthew 4, verse 23. Let's look at it on the screen. Matthew 4. I want you to see this. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue. That was the service point. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all. See, Jesus had other things to do, but this was primary job. See that word, teaching, preaching. What? It went about all Galilee. Christ was holding services everywhere. Let's look at Matthew 9. We'll come back here. Matthew 9, 35. Stop playing around with your service. That's where your key point. That's where your money comes from. That's where the offering tithes come from. All right? Thank God. That's where all the stuff. You cannot do anything without your services. That company, shopping mall, what do you call that one? Just Right. It's in town now. The reason why they are having it is because people are. If people don't come there, they won't have anything. Then look at the Bible. Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Jesus reported himself. He didn't send people there. He go himself and ministered there and preached and taught and healed. My God. I don't know about today. Everybody just want to carry around, move around. You won't succeed like that. No companies do that. Just move around. They don't sit down. I mean, you go to GTB. You don't find anybody in the GTB. They're all in Lagos doing something. Hallelujah. Be at your duty post. All cities and villages. Jesus was ministering there. Let's go back to Matthew 4:23. Jesus kept on doing this. Matthew 4:23. And he kept on. Look at what happened next. And next verse, 24. Then his fame. Then, see that word? Then. That he was teaching and preaching and healing and teaching and preaching. And every service was commendable. It was heaven. It was powerful. It was life-changing. It was instructive. It was stimulating. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought to him all those who were sick, afflicted, diseases, torment, demon possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Next verse. And great multitude. See, services were powerful. You could fight Jesus. Jesus could fight his disciples. But when they get to the service, heaven came down and glory filled her place. Whatever you pray about, whatever you think about, whatever you want to preach about, let it happen well in the service. You should be, Yogicho said, from the, as he finished one service, he's thinking of next service. When I finish service, like I'm thinking, what did I say that's not clear? What should I clear? So that by next service, I know what to do better there. Just like supermarket, when they finish buying on this, when they finish buying, by the evening, they look at what has been bought, what's left over, what should we carry over there, and by second day, you fill it up again. Or, there'll be nobody coming again. Great multitude followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. And don't think they only came for healing. Look at Luke 5, verse 1. Luke 5, verse 1. They didn't only come for healing. So it was as the multitude. Many of you over here, you have not developed your speaking ability. You don't teach, you don't preach, you just talk. You just carry on and talk about what's happening to people. Who cares? All these people, all these Tunubu, literally, face them. Face your God are here now. Addressing the body of Christ as a whole. Are you talking to apostolic congregation? So it was that multitude pressed about him to hear that something. I heard of Yonggi Cho. He said one time, people were coming to church very early in the morning. It was cold in the winter. He said they would line up before they enter because there were several multiple services. And Yonggi Cho said one day he disguised himself to join them. So he covered his hat and he joined the line. And he asked somebody on the line, one woman. He said, why are you here? Now it's cold. Now it's cold early. He said, you don't know. You don't know anything. Just hold on. Are you here for the first time? He was telling him. He said, just wait. You know, your trouble, your hope, you don't have any hope. When you enter the service, when you hear a pastor, your life will change. Young Gichu said, after he heard that, he went back to his room, knelt and said, God, let it continue like this. I don't care what's your title in town. I don't care where your bishop or anything. All those titles don't gel anything in your service. I've seen MDs that will get to the... One thing that helps companies most is that when MD walk in and serve you as a customer. That's the beauty of some of these things. Not just big, stay in your oval office and be oppressing everybody. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I was upstairs. One guy just came to church. He couldn't find their way because we have staircases and cool. He didn't know I was the pastor because I didn't look like one. So I said, young man, how are you? What are you doing? I started asking him, what's your name? He told me his name. I said, what did you say? I just finished school. I'm a vet doctor. I said, what are you doing? I said, I'm here. Which service? I never told him anything. I became the usher. I took him. I said, get over there. The rest will enter. And sat down. Then he would see me on the stage. Like one day, one guy came to tell like that. He didn't know where to go. I showed him. Then I came on the pulpit and started preaching. His eyes got big like this. What kind of pastor is this one? Are you hearing me? You do whatever needs to be done. If you have to sweep, everybody there, you do it. That's your job. Because they are not doing it for you. You are sent there. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Is that okay? And anybody can walk away. When disciples left Jesus, Jesus said to Peter, do you want to go too? Huh? Don't worry. All of you will go. I will still go to my service. Teach, preach, heal. Teach, preach, and heal. Teach. It was still healing to the last moment when he was leaving here. When they came to capture him, and then they came with dagger and sword, and then one of them just took the dagger and cut Marcus' ear, and the ear fell down. What did he do? He was still teaching and preaching and healing. He took the ear and put it there. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Let me say it in a very, I know this is not a very nice word. Jesus was a teaching machine, preaching machine, and healing machine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Any pastor, you don't like to teach, you don't like to preach, you don't like to heal, resign. Go somewhere else. What's the computer in Lagos? Hallelujah. Sorry, I talk tough sometimes. That's in my younger days. I'm older now, but I still talk tough once in a while. Remember my younger days. So resign. Don't worry. We'll collect a letter of resignation. We'll help you give it to Jesus. So number one, key point, your services. Whatever happened, whether you are happy or you are sad, go to the service and deliver. You know, one time, David had a fight with his own son that was rising up against him. And he led his army to go and fight. They said, no, you stay at home. And Joab. They went to go and fight. And then they disposed of his son, killed him. And then they came to tell David that we have won at war against his son. And David started weeping. And when the army came back, they saw David weeping. Oh, my son, oh, my son, oh, my son, the rebel. Oh, my son, oh, my son, oh, my son. The soldiers came in feeling so sad. He went, is it Joab now? What's his name now? Is it Joab? Am I right? Joab was the chief of army staff. He knew he's his cousin. So he knew how to talk to Paul. to David. He said, David, wake up. This is not work. We went to go and fight for your head. And your son was against you. And we did all that thing. And you're saying, my son. You better get up now. Redress now. Call all of them. Or else you lose the kingdom. David said, Mubo. No, take back. No, daddy. Mubo, yama, bo. And the Lord will judge you. Your service is important. Whether you are hot, whether you have not eaten, it doesn't matter. You don't have any money, doesn't matter. That will help you preach better. I remember one time I told this story now. Years ago, I was hungry. I didn't have any food at home. My topic to go and preach somewhere was how to reign as kings in life. I didn't have any food at home. And I walked there. And I preached how to reign as kings in life. Preach. When I stopped to open the Bible, my mind will say, what are you going to eat tonight? I just speak louder again. So I can drown out my own voice of my mind. When I finished preaching, I came down. A young man came and said, hey, you really preached me happy today. Let's go and eat in my house. I didn't refuse. When we finished at his house, I can't forget remember what I ate now. Yam and egg, thank you. After I finished yam and egg, he said, just wait. Went to his wardrobe, brought up babariga, said, I want to give you. You preach so well. And, of course, it fitted me. God knew what he was doing. So, whatever is doing, don't let down. You are there as Christ's ambassador. And you must deliver, and this service must touch heaven, touch men, and touch life. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. So, look at your service, whether you are 2 or 2,000. Jesus had a service with one woman in a Samaritan village. It was so well, the woman went to go and bring the whole town. Is that not true? Don't say, you see, every person matters. We'll see that in a minute. So number one, your service key point. Take that key. Whether you are 2 or 3 or 10, don't worry. Deliver the best there. Give your best. When you are sick, go preach. When you are well, go preach. When you are broke, go preach. Just do something. Make the service well. Hallelujah. In fact, all of the ways to make the devil angry is when you are broke, I'm going to preach on how to have more money. He will stop tormenting you. When you are sick, go preach healing. Hallelujah. So, number one, key point, your services. Put S there for me. Your services. Your medium service, people don't come because you don't come yourself. Huh? You don't come. You don't take it serious. You don't take Sunday seriously. You don't have Sunday is the only one that's serious. Whatever you are doing, no matter how tired you are, get to your service. You see, run errands for other things, but keep your energy for your services. Are you hearing me? You know what I just said? And criticize your service yourself. Criticize your service. Look at your service. Listen to yourself. Look at the choir. Look at everything. Check everything up. See what you can do better. Don't just, Oluwa, they will receive anyway. No. That's the first one. Let's look at the second one. I want to give you a picture for you to see what your services are. Can you give me those pictures? Your service is like a car, like a transport. You are transporting them. Are we here? See, when you look at your services, see a vehicle. What do I say? See what? A vehicle. See a vehicle. Let's take it one by one. Can I have all the pictures on one spot? Is it possible? If it's not, don't worry. Okay, all right. Now, you can see there is a car there, there is a bus, there is a train, there is a plane. These are all means of transportation. Are you hearing me? So, see your services as a point of transportation to carry. This one can carry about at most 5 people, 3 at the back, 2 at the front. This one can carry more people. That's a double decker there. You can carry more people. And then you can get a train. That's Nigerian train. That will carry, many along with it and go. Huh? Then you have a plane that can just fly through the air and get them delivered there. you want to enjoy the traveling experience. We use this picture as our things to deliver our service. You know, whatever it is. Now, can I get other picture? Now, look at this one. This is not a means of transportation. This is for show. It's called sport car. Many of us, our service are so much shipped to our colleagues and our ministers. When I was traveling, I know this is one problem we have as pastors or ministers traveling around. When we go and preach for somebody else, we'll be preaching more to the pastor than to the people. You are trying to impress your... No, forget about them. That's where I sit. These are people sit. Don't talk to you all the time. Talk to them. Are you hearing me? Don't do showmanship. Will never help you with your services. Because I'm not here to come and see you show. I have enough problem to have enough factor. I don't need your showmanship. I don't need your sports car. You can't carry me anywhere. You can only make noise. Boom, boom. And usually it's only for you. So don't have service only for yourself. I preach myself happy. Stop doing that. relax. Enjoy yourself. But at the same time, think about the people. How does Smith Wiggins what? When he's preaching outside, he will remove his jacket. Because when he starts feeling cold, he will feel it himself. He's wrapped up in jacket. People are sitting there feeling cold. He won't know. So he will remove his jacket so that he can feel what they are feeling. Hallelujah. Are we blessed? Let's go to the next one I have over here written down. Yeah. Give us back the pictures together. We'll leave it there as our thing to follow. Now, if you look at all these vehicles, that's one thing they do with all these vehicles. They tailor these vehicles for the passengers. They are not tailored for the CEO. They are not even tailored for the driver, unlike the sports car. They are tailored for the passengers. So, the second key point, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hallelujah. Looking at keys to numerical growth. See, if you don't tailor your services for people, they will not come. Let's see how Paul said it. And you know, there are different ways. One time I was traveling to US, and we traveled through Qatar Airlines. So we traveled to that place now where they go to. Where they first of all drop everybody. Doha, thank you, Doha. So we took a plane from here, from Nigeria to Doha. And then we dropped. They are now enter the plane, go to US. I say, lay you down. The plane going from Doha to US was bigger, better, more comfortable. You don't feel like you're traveling. They know we are Nigerians. We take anything. So they just pack us to that plane. So from Nigeria to Doha, we take anything. Nigerians don't know anything that's good anyway. But when we enter, those guys won't take nonsense. So Qatar tailored the plane to that. Sometimes when we come back from Nigeria, sometimes we see plane, it won't work. The AC may not work. Nigerians will take it. Hello, Lenny. We are used to taking anything. Am I right? So look at chapter 9, 1 Corinthians. Let's read it. This place in the Bible is really amazing. If you are running, this is important. Are we there? Chapter 9, 1 Corinthians. Next key you are looking at now. Verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I can do what I want. I have made myself what? A servant to all, that I might increase the numerical growth. You have to win them. You have to win people.
So there's a contest going on. And the way to win them is not to be like chief over them. It's by coming to serve. The pastor must become the chief servant of all in the service, in the church, if you want to win more people. When you see all these men of God that are big today, that are having retinue of PAs, that's not the way they started. And sometimes that's not even the way they operate in their different place. They call their people, they meet, they do a lot of things that we don't know anything about. We just see only the bigness and all those things following them around. Look at next verse. He says, now I began to itemize it and specifically now. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. Not the gospel now. I have the gospel. But I myself must become a Jew to win the Jews. I may have the gospel, but if I not become like a Jew and I go to the Jews, I can't win them with the gospel. Because I must win them first. Are you hearing me, somebody here? To the Jews, to those who are under the law, as under the law, and I'm going to win those who are under the law. Let's keep following. Next verse. And to those who are outside the law, as outside the law, not being without law toward God, but under the law toward Christ. And I'm going to win those who are outside the law. This one, they have no principles at all. How do I win them? I have to live as if I have no principle myself. Next verse. And to the weak, I became as weak that I might what? Win the weak. Let's read together. Next part. Let's go together. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So, next thing, if you are going to have numerical growth, you must become like the people you want to bring in. If you are going to increase number of youth in your church, you must become youthful and youth-like. If you are going to reach Abeokuta, you will become urbanized. You can't be Lagosized and reach Abeokuta. That's why branch churches have problems. Because they are one place, they learn to do that in that place. Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. Pastor Bella knows because he's been involved in different places. You know, Abuja is not the same as Aba. Aba is not the same as Port Harcourt. You have to restructure yourself and panabit yourself to them. Not the gospel. The gospel is okay, it's for all. But you yourself that's delivering this thing must be panabited. I know one pastor in this town. Today, oh, I feel sorry for him. Years ago, he came to this town. He always lamented because he wanted to have ministry that is not like Abeokuta. But he was here. So he will always blast the members. That you're not like Lagos. You're not like that. You're not like that. I was, you know, I love to watch people. People are my research points. I watch things. I listen. I watch people over the years. And I watched him. And he tried to go to Lagos. He put some people there. He didn't walk. He came back. Didn't work. Went somewhere else. Didn't work. And I just feel sorry. Nothing is working now. A cooling plant, tell them to what's over here or over there, it just scattered. You have to become Bawa. Hello? You can't be doing, some of you over here, you want a lack of ways. You see, thinking like somebody like a mechanic, it won't work. Pastor Peace was telling me, when he began to reach people that are Yoruba, he noticed that he couldn't handle them like handle English people. English, you are very nice. Yoruba, you get direct. I read in church, close their one. They ask you. And then they will come. You don't tell them, they won't come. But people that are English, educated, say, why don't you see church? We'll see next week. You are trespassing in his boundary. Some things I wonder. I never raise money in our church. I don't raise money. We have money. I don't. That's why some of my guys, some say, Pastor, go invite anybody. I know who they want to reach. I don't reach that kind of people. So I'm going to pray. I don't bear the name Papa in church. I don't bear the name like Papa. I don't in church because I'm telling my pastor, the God, when I got two or three degrees. They are my fellows. They are my colleagues. I don't bring my church. I don't say, I'm a leader. I don't bring them over here. Well, these are my friends. I know they can preach, but they don't come over here. Because when they finish, they scatter everything. Oh, yeah, tell nobody. Tell nobody. After our church, nobody will do. But they can give millions without you knowing. When they see the fruit. So I learned some of these things. Are you hearing me? So you have to know people you are dealing with. And then Jesus himself, he was God. But when he came here, he became a human being. Not only became a Jewish boy. And for 30 years, he never opened his mouth to preach. He lived first among them. So, number two key point in having numerical growth, you become like them. Pastor Dekunle is over there. He's a Nigerian now. He lives in Niger. You know, he's a missionary over there. They told you in cross-mission culture that you have to become like them. Am I right? You have to come down to them. And all of us, that pastors, we are now missionaries. I hope you know that. We are now missionaries in the cities. So you have to become like them. You can't just be outside of them. He speaks all those languages now. He speaks French. You have to. Huh? You don't like Amalafofo. You are reaching Itoko people. You better eat Amalafofo or else you'll be in trouble. You have to get used to them. So become like where you are going to. Some churches, Igbos will never attend. Some churches, Yoruba will never attend. They're going abroad. They're going to reach the whites. Are you white yourself? Even in your talking. See, if you go to... I live more like a white person. I live more like a white person because I'm an educated level. I don't live like... If you go to a typical church abroad, this is where they dress on Sunday morning. Pastors, white people, that's what they dress. They wear jeans. My daughter is in Canada. So her husband, they went to church. They are going to Nigerian church first. They didn't work for them. They went to white church. And the white church will just wear a shirt and carry backpack. Huh? Then the husband will tell my husband will say, that's like your daddy. You know why I don't look like pastor today? Because they think that we are all flakes. So I look normal. That's just my own for the future. I'm not asking you to do that. One of my friend's daughter came to see. It's the pastor who came to preach for us for our anniversary. The daughter was in the U.S. to do some master's degree. So she came along with her father for the anniversary in our church. So we went to my office. Then they gave me a picture of my office during my bad day that I was wearing t-shirt and jeans, sitting down, you know. And then the daughter entered my office with the dad. He said, "My dad, that's where our pastors look abroad." So you have to know what to look like. Are you hearing me? You know what? White will wear singlet to church with slippers. You hear me? Nigeria, ama di kaka di kuku, geleya loba. Then you do and cool. That's all right. But you can't go and reach the white like that. Are you hearing me? So learn to become. Ask yourself, a typical person I want to reach. What does he look like? What does he do? Paul said, "I want to reach the Jews." One of the beautiful things about as a pastor that is going to help you reach many is learning to be changing for all people. I have three services on Sunday. I have service for those who are older, 45 years and above. The second service is for those who are just married, having little children. And then the last service is for youth and singles. Like last Sunday, I came to church with my shirt and tie. I put on shirt, and I preach first service for those who are older. Second service, I did question and answer. Third service, I was in my office, losing my shirt, roll up my shirt. If you don't believe me, check up the... So third service, I roll up my shirt. I'm talking about how to pray well to them at their own level. I said, you don't have to pray like a pastor. You pray in your own way. I told them how to pray as a youth and as a single. Not just, hallelujah. As a pastor, I pray for 7 hours. I don't care. That's your problem. How can I pray as a single person going to school facing life? I don't have 7 hours. And I saw my mommy pray. As she pray, and terrorize all of us in the house. So I don't want to be a prayer warrior. My daddy is sick of her. See, you come, some of you already getting scared with my style now. But you have to become all things to all men to reach them. Are you hearing me? Praise God. I was in one church recently. One pastor's church invited me for their anniversary. So I walked there. She saw me as a very high kind of girl. So when I entered the church and I saw them, I began to preach in English and Yoruba. I said, Bible Yoruba, Ebameka. She came back and said, I was shocked. So, Emma said, Yoruba, bye. I go to the church like that. I become somebody else different. I don't come and say, Reverend Papa. No. When I enter a service, I look at them first and I just start grading them. I start reading them. I start acting like them to reach them. Are you hearing me? So, second key to miracle growth, come down from your... Christ himself came down. Am I right? So, join Jesus. Come down. Hallelujah. I become all things. To the Jew, I became a Jew. If you go to Elisha or Ekiti, where they are very religious and they tie their head, you better get yourself to tie your head to reach them as a pastor. Are you hearing me? But if you go to Lagos at VI, praise the Lord. Third key point. These are the keys you can use all the time. Now, can I have the cars? Can I have this transport back again? There's something about today's cars and today's vehicles. You go by air. If you talk by air before, or you go by train. There are different levels of train. Every time I'm taking train, I'm going to Lagos. You have taken train. Pastor Peace is a train person. I've never taken the train yet. Now, there's something about inside a vehicle. It's called the atmosphere. So they condition the air to suit the journey. It's called AC. Am I right? Because I don't have AC, you won't last long in them. And you're traveling far distance. Hello. You have to start competing to sit by the window. But when you condition the inside of the car, it becomes a beautiful journey all through. Oh, traveling by air, there are different classes there. There's economy. I don't go first class. I want to keep my money for some other things. First class is around 10 million now. Oh, yeah, only call it Labekuta. After a barrier. And they're going to rent a house with a padawa. But you can blow a lot of money. No, I don't mind. Praise God. But when you enter the plane, there's this. Please help us put off your phone if you are the owner of the phone. That's when you experience inside a vehicle, inside a car with AC. And then the atmosphere, when you enter the plane, it's so beautiful. So this place, you just sit down and 7 hours you'll enjoy it. One day I enter one plane like that. I don't remember Okada Airlines. Remember, one day we enter one, it was kabu kabu in the air. You can see the smoke coming out of it. The most important atmosphere in the church and in the service is love. 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 If your services display love, people, even if you are speaking nonsense, they keep coming back. If you love people and you go after their interest, not your own, not just want to get something from them, but you want to pour out your heart, I tell them in the church, I'm not using you as a full step to climb up. I'm not looking for anything. I'm not looking for to become a pope or apostle or bishop. I'm not looking to become a church big so that I can use that as a platform. No. I said, you are the end point. I am not using you for anything. You are too big to be used by me because Christ shed his blood for you. How can I use you? That's Sacrilegious. I must love them. Everybody here who has a child knows that you can't just use your child. You have to raise them. Am I right? And when you finish raising them, Pastor Balogun, they go. If you don't love, don't have children. If you're selfish, they kill you. Because old school keep on growing up. Am I right? And accommodation is also there. And they don't pay for any of them. So if you are going to have a church, the atmosphere. See, if a room is choky, what do you want to do? You want to get out. You can't stay long there. It's full of smokes and fumes. So Paul said, love is the bond of perfection. And that love must be displayed, number one, by the pastor himself. It's the thermometer for love in the church. You must love people. Whether they are well-dressed or not well-dressed. Whether they are poor or not poor. Jesus had big meetings. You know why? Women go to Jesus meetings. You know why? Jesus loves their children. Jesus will stroll down to the kiddies' church and play there. You know why I'm telling you that? I can tell you. Many of you, you can't talk to children. I have children in my church. They are my friends. They grow up. Today, some of them are doctors. They grow up in church. They are my friends. They can always tell me what they can tell their fathers and their mothers. Why? Because I'm at their level. I'm not. Like one of them recently was telling me in my office. He said, she just finished in the university. He said, I'm back to church. I'm feeling good, man. I said, what? He said, I got a friend when I was in school. He said, I was talking to him. I was talking to her. She said, if my pastor hugged me, that jacket, I will hang it in my room forever. He said, I looked at her surprised. He said, church in close. You never see our pastor? He has bodyguards. He comes like that through that door. And he sit down. When he finished, he marches out with the bodyguard. You have 25 people in your church. You have bodyguard. That's like fire. Are you hearing me? You should be available to everybody. Even politicians should be available to everybody during the campaign. After that, he withdraw. You know, he said, what? He said, in my church, we play with our pastor. He said, friend, we don't. You come to office. He said, come on. Hey, come on, let's go. Buy your ice cream. Buy something. Give you some money. Pastor. So like, okay, so I say, you don't have transport money? Give them. That's what? You just love them. Love always attracts people. And you know what? Your heavenly father is love. God is love. If you don't show love, you're not a child of God. You don't know God. It's not. That's how you know God. No, the Bible says, he who loves knows God. So let God be in the atmosphere. Let love be in the atmosphere. Come down and love people. Just love them. They are facing things. They are going through things. Young and old. They are facing. You just love them. Hallelujah. And please, I know sometimes people exasperate us. People make us mad. But just calm down. And there are two outstanding things about love. Paul says, so love suffers long and is kind. So, if you want to love, ready for suffering. As a pastor, suffer long. Suffer long with the poor. Suffer long with the rich. Suffer long with the divorcee. Suffer long with the separated. Suffer long with everybody. Suffer long with even your colleagues. How many of you know I love you here? I love people. I just love. Now, by nature, I'm an introvert. I don't like people by nature. I like to be in my room, reading my Bible. One of those years, I used to feel like I should go to prison and just drink my tea, give me books. I'm okay. But I know I must love people. I must come down to people. You see, you can always win anybody with their children. Oh, my brother is over here. He's over here. You know, he had a son. And that son, when they go to any church, he'll cry. He will not, they won't go down there. The first time they came here, the boy walked, am I right? Come and tell us. He told me in my office. Yeah, what happened?
Good afternoon, church. Good afternoon, church. Yeah, I relocated my family from Ilishan Remo to Abeokuta. So we were attending Redeemed Christian Church in Ilishan. And the child would go to children's church right from 2 months old. When we got to Abeokuta, I was attending Living Faith Odweran there. So when they came, I'll take them to church, you refuse. You just hang with me all through the service, distracting me. So I started telling my friends, this child has been taken into the church right from 2 months. What's happening? Now he's repelling children's church. So I informed virtually all my friends. I've been to different churches just to get him in the church. So a friend just told me that, why can't you try Rock Foundation? My wife works somewhere around FMC here. So I was living at Odweran. So that day I just brought her to the church, to the hospital. And I said, let's just branch out to Rock Foundation. Immediately I parked there. The child that doesn't, he will make me to carry him to the church. And he won't come down. He will just stay with me. So when we got to the gate there, he just came down and followed his brothers to the children's church. That was how we started attending Rock Foundation. So,
the boy dragged all of them here. So you can say it's my preaching. You can say it's my preaching. Second one happened. A woman goes to church. The child will cry all through service. They came over here. The child was quiet all through. Love is in the air. There's no health importance. There's no pastor here. There's no, everybody just knows that you can touch pastor. You can. It's a home. Just, it's a home. You break down. You have problems. We can cry on ourselves. That's what we do. So love is the AC in the car, in the transportation. Love, love, love. Just love. Don't worry. They may not stay with you. They may not be here with you. Like we just had, Pastor Peace said that somebody came to church for the first time. Me and his wife. And God said, go downstairs and pray for people that are looking for work. And the person got a job. He never came back. That's a test. God's looking at you. What will you do? God so loved the world. That's so you can stretch it. That he gave his only begotten son. My, I use this example in church. I said, can you imagine somebody having a car? He has latest Benz Jeep packed in his car. And he has another car, B2 of 1978. I said, if the Benz breaks down, you will take the B2 and sell it without thinking to repair the Benz. Am I right? But if the B2 is sick and you take the Benz Jeep and sell it, something's wrong with you. I said, that's what God did. He took his best and gave him up for the rest of us who are going nowhere. Be very careful. That person you are looking at, Christ paid with his own precious blood. So they are worthy of your love. People are not loved anymore. They're just being used. Let's love. Whether they walk in church or they don't walk in church. Whether they give, they don't give in church. Just love them. Love matters most. They paid the greatest price. They believe in Jesus. They've come in. If they don't believe in God, and sometimes stop being nasty to sinners. You are too nasty to sinners. When they look like sinners, maybe, so good, you know, the ladies, they do like this. And they do like this. You know what I mean by that? This one pull down, this one push up. Or some guys just come in, they look like, you know, kind of a thing. I want to help you. I want to strengthen you. God can meet you. One time I remember some 3 Yahoo boys came to church. I'll talk about that later. And I was talking about Yahoo that day. And I was pointing to them. Praise God. Now, when they said that, one neighbor had them and started coming to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, loving people. The atmosphere of love. Just being there. Forget about yourself. Forget about your title. That's for your friends. Are you hearing me? Thank God for titles. Remember, those days when we were in university now, We are all bro now. Remember, bro sis now. We go eat. You can go anywhere in Nigeria those days and see you. Go to Abuja, go to Zaria, go to Maduguri and say, bro, I'm traveling. And they will put you and give you meal ticket to go and eat. Am I right, sir? Today, are you Rock Foundation or are you Redeem? Are you? And there are so many churches today that when we get to heaven, we'll spend 5 years knowing the name of churches and ministries. But what matters most, are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Now, I love people to a fault. They will lie to me, they will cheat to me, and they do all kinds of... I got one young man that was lying to me. He was not going to church. Come and see me. Lied to me to collect money. Go over there. One day God seized him and got him. Today he's a mighty prophet. He's still coming to go and meet me. Ah, every time. He came to my... When the Lord met him and he got saved, he came to my office and said, I want to come and see you today. I said, sit down, Samuel, how are you doing? He said, I want to make restitution. I said, what's that? He said, I'm saved now. And God has really got on me. I was lying to you those days. I said, come on, give me some more money. Take me more money. Go and enjoy yourself. So I'm trying to disciple him now. That's the way it is. So love. And love beyond your borders. Jesus loved two people that we never think of loving. The woman at the well. 5 husbands before. That's a man snatcher. Am I right? 5 husbands. The one staying with us, not a husband. Jesus didn't say, And well, let's say. And what church Laroy? Jesus ministered to her so nicely. He said, are you married? Her conscience was telling her, I'm not married. He said, you are right. You're right. The one, you have 5 before. The one you have right now is not your husband. He said, I perceive you are a prophet. Then she asked a most pressing question while she was going around. Our father worshiped on this mountain. It's worship that her heart was crying for. And Christ never said, shut up, I'm talking about your marriage now. Let's not talk about worship. And Christ talked about worship, and she dropped a bucket and went to town and got everybody to come. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Some pastors, they know too much to help people. Just be nice. Just calm down. Be, just love him. Are you hearing me? I mean, think about it. God hears everybody. 8 billion people. Everybody, from a child to the oldest, from the poorest to the greatest, and is meeting all their needs. Let's stand for our Father God in heaven. Come on. Let's be like him. Now, let me surprise you. The Bible says, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. People miss that verse. He's talking about love. The only way you can be perfect as a person is to walk in love. No other way. I don't have time. I'll prove to you. Perfection in the Bible is not perfection. It's that you are so... No. Perfection is... Remember Jesus told that man, the rich young ruler that came to him. He said, if you want to be perfect, go sell everything you have and give to the poor. See that? So love must be in the air. It's a good smell when you go to church and you can smell love. You can see the pastor and his wife. There's love between them and the children and everybody. And you know, in the church, you love people. You come to them, you shake hands with them. Give me 5. You know, of you are so holy. Huh? You don't mix with your people. One of the things I desire to do, it was not easy. I want to sit among church members. That's my trouble. They just get away from me. They just get away from me. You know, I just want to mention. That's where Jesus was not. Children came to Jesus. Apostle said, what are this kiss over? Pull out the kiss out. He says, leave them alone. They are the children, they are the kingdom of God. And he lay hands on them, pray for them, these children. Later they became apostles and prophets. Am I making some sense this morning? So, if you are looking for numerical growth, see, that my pastor over there, the son brought him to church, not my message. The love in the air. Love people. Let your church become atmosphere. Whether you are 2 or 3, let there be love there. And please, one of the best ways to love is to say, I'm sorry. Apologize. Don't be a big person. Don't be mighty. Just be nice. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Sometimes I'll fight my wife just to keep love. I'll tell her, sorry for yesterday. Huh? So, be normal and love. That's the third thing. Key, that will always, moment a church start stop loving. That's why don't promote witchcraft in church. I want elegbele yet to church by. I'm walking, I'm walking, I'm adjecting. Some of you are so scared of demons. Demons will come to your church and get cast out. Some of you, we don't. Jesus, the devil took Jesus, Abby. Check your Bible. Because the devil took Jesus to a high mountain. So the devil was like, you know, some people, you go to church, you don't know where you're sitting beside. It's the devil, or it's a witch, it's a witch. Because a witch, in the midst of darkness, it can shine. But in the midst of light, darkness is our world learning. And where else will they go to get saved, if not church? I never worry about attack in our church. You know why? When you walk in the light, the powers of darkness cannot work. Darkness cannot stop light over here. So, let's celebrate love of God in our midst. Is that all right? Let's look at the next one quickly. Our time is running. I need to have a break at number four, and then Pastor Peace will talk about us, about singles. I want to talk about how to reach out to, what are the single people in church? What do we do with them? Let's quickly look at this before we go further. Now, look at all these transportation lines. There's a driver in all of them, right? But they are not usually the owner of the vehicle. Am I right? If you ever run a taxi before as a business in this town, you know how drivers can be turned over quickly. They come around, tomorrow they will not show up. All these things, when they start getting bigger, the owner must be beyond one person. If your church is going to do well, you must give up ownership. And let Jesus become the owner of the church. Jesus must become the owner, and you are simply a driver. You are the one to take the car from here to here, there. You see, the owner buys the car, he services the car. Some of you are trying to buy the car and service the car. That's why you are struggling. I've had a boy one time. He was struggling, started to run RCCG. So one day he started growing gray hair, younger. And God said, you know your problem? Go and look at your signboard. He said, what? He said, it is called Redeemed Church of Adeboye. No, of God. Don't be scared of things happening in your church. Hey, when the Farabale, all the church. Am I right? I'm not the owner. There's something, have you ever seen all these trucks, when they drive them around, all these big trucks? Moment they have accidents, this usually happens. The driver runs away. Anybody? Yeah. We never see them. Oh, you don't have a truck. So you don't know. When you have a truck, the moment the guy hits something with that truck carrying granite, he just stop and vamoose. And then the owner will come and sell all the rest. Are you hearing me? Don't sort out your church by yourself. You have an owner. The ownership belongs to Jesus. Write that one down. My church is not my own. The church is not my own. The ministry is not my own. It's not our own. Give up ownership. Or the owners, Jesus the owner. I like that way. Jesus is the owner. Type it there under it in bracket. Jesus is the owner. He said, I will build my church. You look at that in some dimensions I'm going to look at. Jesus being the owner. If you give me that picture again of different transportation. When you begin to get bigger and more complex, look at this now. Look at this car over here. They will have some run around. But when they start getting bigger, they will have schedule for their movements. Am I right? For instance, if you are dealing with train and planes, you have to have flight schedules. Are you hearing me? And when you take the plane into the air, you just can't fly any way you think. You have to listen to them at the time. Thank you, sir. You listen to them and fly the plane according to what's given to you. You just can't do anything. So, number one, many of us are feeling sad because we are the owner. Give up ownership. Let Jesus be the. I'm not saying you should go to church and say, I'm not here anymore. Jesus is here. Let me give you a picture of this. The first pastor in the Bible, I hope you know him. I don't know if you know the first pastor in the Bible. Not in the New Testament. Old Testament. Moses. Thank you. It's called the Shepherd of Israel. The first time God was employing Moses, it was a shepherd to start with. Remember, 40 years was a shepherd, physical shepherd. Remember? God said, my people, I have seen them. I've heard their groaning. And I've come down to deliver them. Oh, did you hear all those words? You know, I used to say to myself, do this. I said, Lord, if you have come down, what are you doing here? You should be at Egypt now, fighting Pharaoh. But God has to come through us. So he said, come down now. Go for me to Egypt. So you are actually sent by him. So you are the driver, but not the owner. You are driving the church to go somewhere. The owner won't drive it. He has many, many vehicles. He used to drive it himself when he was here. He was going to every city and village. Now he's putting you in those cities and villages now. Am I making some sense? Now, so that means that you are the driver now. So what you need to know is schedule and the places to go. Time and places to go. Where will Christ want us to be? So as a church, your real owner is Jesus Christ. Put that into your mentality. That means that you're going to have venue because the owner will provide. If I do what I'm supposed to do, the owner will do whatever to kiss. See, the owner repairs the vehicle if it breaks down and service the vehicle if it breaks. Am I right? In fact, as a driver, I'm not supposed to use my money to run the vehicle. The owner is supposed to collect the money around the place and then give me my own. Are you hearing me? If you're flying, if you're a pilot, you are paid well. Praise God. But if you crash the plane, you yourself can't survive. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me mention this verse to you. So what does that mean, practically speaking, in numerical growth? John 10. If Jesus is the owner, John 12, verse 16. Take a look at this. This is beautiful. 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 John 10, verse 16. John 10. Okay, let's start from verse 15 to make it clearer. Verse 16. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life. For who? For the sheep. Next verse. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must. Not I may. So your growth is critical to Jesus. Someone will pay for them now. Them also I must bring. But this is the key. And they will hear my voice. They will hear my voice, not your voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Thank God for the label on your church. Actually, it's Jesus' own. All those labels on the church are just like tag for bags to not be lost. Are you hearing me? It's for government to register you. But it's not registered in heaven. Your name, your church, is not in heaven. Balabele. You, when we get to the last days, Jesus will say, Methodist, Inco, Anglican, Roman, Jopadi. No. John Wesley, I don't know who did. He said he went to hell and he asked, how many are Methodists here? His own people, the hands went up. How many are Baptists? Their hands went up. When he got to heaven, he said, how many are Baptists? Nobody. How many are Methodists? Nobody. How many are Pentecostal? Nobody. How many are children of God? All hands went up. People know that you are after your ministry and after your service and after your church. That's why they also play game with you. Are you hearing me? I know what I'm sharing is a little bit way out. But our fathers don't do that. They do like that now. They do our work. You see, our fathers, they are growing older and things are changing. These younger folk we have today, they are different entirely. they can press their phone and hear the best sermon from anywhere in the world, better than your own. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You can attend service in US in minutes today. So the only thing you can have to say now is Jesus. That be permanent, that will keep. He said, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. So the voice of the master is what's most important in your church. So I endeavor over the years to emphasize Jesus in the church. The owner must be known. One day God asked me a question. He said, somebody you know, if you cut off their head, you won't know who they are. Except close family members. What identifies us is our head. Our body always look alike. The Lord said to me, the body of Christ has no identity aside from me. I am the head. And when you lose Christ, you lose your identity as a church. Now let me show you how that works on Sunday morning in our services. John 12. You have this, you have had this verse before. We are looking at the keys to numerical growth in our church. John 12. Hallelujah. We're going to read the verse that all of us know the verse, but it's not so much common anymore. Verse 32. Jesus was speaking there. And I, if I'm lifted up from the earth, what will I do? I don't hear this verse anymore. We used to sing, lift up, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for, he said, I will draw. Okay, beautiful. So, if you want to have a drawing power in your church, to every service, lift up Jesus. You know what I found in our country? Over the years, men of God have drawn men to themselves and they have been highly deceived. People will give you, I have a word, my wife will laugh when I say this. I said, people have deep, superficial loyalty. Did you hear that? Deep. When they are in your presence, papa, you don't have anything. You just do all that around you. Because it's your name. But when it's Christ, that's the difference. Because Christ is everywhere. So, I will say this. Start lifting up Jesus. Paul said, when you preach the cross, is the power of God. Don't try and impress people. Try to bring Jesus to them. Every service. Look here. Some things you won't say anymore. They don't connect with Jesus. You know why I don't buy the idea of Celestial Church with their coconuts and their marijuana? I never seen Jesus doing that. How do you check any spirit? 1 John 4. How do you check? Verse 1. How do you check any spirit? Take a look. Verse 1, quickly. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets go out to the world. Next verse. For by this you know who? Every spirit that confesses that Christ has come in the flesh. That's how you know whether you are operating Holy Ghost in your church or devil spirit. So begin to connect all that you do to Jesus. Is that all right? I'm sorry to say this. Forgive me. Stop trying to promote your ministry. Start promoting Jesus. Are you hearing me? I will take a pause. And then Pastor Peace will come and share with us what we said we should share for about 20 minutes. About, he said, becoming all things to all men. About the, he want to give us some ideas about the singles that are in our churches and in the land. We're going to hear that. But we have done about four, right? Number one, let's see the verse. Can you give us on the screen? Your services are so important. People don't care whether you're an apostle or a prophet or whatever. What happens in your service determines your growth, numerically speaking. Next verse. You know what? You can do the most stupid thing as a pastor. Your service can still be delivered well. Let me give an example. Imagine you just had a big fight with your wife. And everybody has known that you had a big fight with your wife. What will happen next Sunday? Very simple. Walk in and say, Enyarawa, I had a fight with my wife. I'm a normal human being like everybody else. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 1. Because you are not portraying any superiority. Are you hearing me? But when you start acting like God, like the person who never goes to toilets. So when you mess, it'll be a big deal. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Is that all right? See, you can redeem any situation. As a pastor, when you know that Christ is Lord over here and he forgives, am I right? The Lord forgives. Be cool. Be normal. Some of us don't like what I'm saying now. The pastor must always be protected as the one that is in charge. But when Goliath comes, what are you going to do? You go and hide. And one boy will come and kill Goliath, who just came from the back of the bush. So I pray with us, let's lift Jesus up. He said, if I lift it up, I will draw all men to me. Now please, let me close like this. It doesn't mean when you come and talk about Christ next Sunday after, church at Akumpa. But you know what I notice about Jesus? When you begin to emphasize him, I notice this. He will begin to go all over the city, Jesus himself, and start getting people that need what you are doing and what you need to hear and say, go to that church next Sunday because they're going to talk about me in this area. I want to be a church where Christ can say, when he said to Paul, go to the city, they will tell you what you must do. That's the kind of church. You see, there's a church that can grow by human PRO. You can grow by human PRO. You do all the PRO, have signboard in town. I don't have any signboard in town. I'm not against signboard. But you can do all those PR like that, and they will get around PR. But they don't last. Look down the years, churches in our land, and men of God, they've come and gone. But look at Baba Deboye, Holy Ghost service, every first Friday. Everywhere in the world is coming there. So when you he can go preach anywhere. That's why he bought a plane. His plane is heading toward Lagos, Saturday night. And Sunday morning, is in church to deliver as usual. One day I had him preaching like this, just coming out with scriptures, just word. I said, Baba Isa, Covenant University, can he come? He will stop. He could stop just the word of God. I know he's in the service. He's still a pastor. Is that right? Let's take a pause. Praise God. All right, let's stop right now. We have 7 to go. We finish 5 o'clock in the night. Relax. It don't take that long. We just jump. We have done a lot of stuff. So number 1, number 2, become like them. I become all things to all men. Number 3, the atmosphere of love is so important in your church. It's the AC in our church. Love, love, love. And the only way to love, to be long-suffering and kind. Generous as a pastor. Generous. Sometimes the last money, do you know sometimes, I don't like to say this. Sometimes my offering, I give to people. You know what I just said? The offering I'm supposed to give in church, I give it to people. I package my offering. Pastor, it's for God. God is for people. My offering. Can I just say, can you call, sell this, can you call? Just, okay, you just take. Well, first of all, I said, Lord, this is bugging me. The Lord said, what's the problem? The money they give me, I give to the poor. I know too. They give Jesus money and they give it to the poor. But pastor, ministry will survive. Look at us. We are not holding anybody in town. I don't like to say anything. We just got some equipment by 4.5 million. Church didn't know we did. No announcement about anything. So we are not poor. Thank you very much. Okay, let's talk about becoming all things to all men, singles in our midst and stuff. Pastor Peace had been singles guys for years. He used to do what they call mingle with singles those days. So let's hear. How many of you are married here? Can I see your answer? So you are out of touch. You are out of touch with singles. So let's have some education about them. Let's welcome Pastor Peace one more time. Let's clap our hands for Jesus.
Thank you, sir. I'll be here for maybe 10 minutes so we can continue looking at the keys. I'll make it brief, sir. Maybe I should begin from where Reverend ended. When he told me I was going to be talking about how to pastor and care for singles, I thought he gave me that assignment because of he knows where we are coming from and the fact that my assignment for many years, well over a decade, was to singles and particularly demography of singles. I'm going to talk about it. And then you talked about mingle with singles. Just recently, I was having some dealings with the Lord and we realized we had to bring it back. It was a meeting we had every month for many years. And somewhere along the line, we let it fizzle out. Not by deliberate intention. Maybe I'll get there when I talk about raising people. When I started pastoring, there was no single gray hair here. I'm young, but this is just every morning I poop out there before I come out. So it was 20 years ago, this October, that we were asked to start a church and pastor just students. That was the instruction I had at that time. So for us, our focus was mainly the young people. So you come to our church, you find out that apart from myself and my wife, Pastor B and his wife, they used to be with us in those days, and I think a third couple, every other person was single. And we're like that for many years. And so some of the things we have learned and discovered that would work in pastoring and caring for singles are some of the things we want to just say. And recently, in church, we decided to have a meeting and said we need to reinvent because we are growing. And something, one of the reasons that made Mingle with fizzle out was around 2016, some of those people who came to church as singles, they graduated, got married, many of them got married in the church, or to people they met while they were all students in the church, and some of them were back in the church, and a number of them were back as pastors in the church. They all grew up as singles, came into church as from pre-degree, were raised in the church, got married, went to serve, came back, and a number of them were, like two of them were pastors. So I started grooming them for because I realized I was growing older. Because one of the things I have there, Reverend already said, you have to become like them. You have to become like young people, like singles. Let me try and follow my note. First of all, to effectively reach singles, to pastor and care for singles, you have to distinguish the different demography of singles. I have two major ones here. And one is young singles. Young singles. Those are those who are still, you know, in this the learning or the training stages of life. If we look at academic people, because these days, I don't only think about educated people these days because of where our church is located now. In the last 4 years, we relocated, and I find that there are a lot of people around us that are not like how we used to be when we were coming for 16 years. So we just need to, okay. So I would say, before I would just say, the first demography, the young singles are undergraduates, but now I will also say an apprentices. Because in our church now, we have hairdressers. We have tailors. Some of them are educated. But not so much. Thank you, sir. Yeah. Not like when we were mainly, we have undergraduates, graduates, PhD holders, and all of that. But there was a little bit of difference. So the demographics, number one, the young singles, those are the undergraduates, the apprentices, the people that, who have not yet come into, as it were, quote-unquote, maturity. Then we have, number two, mature singles. And those are the working class singles. Those are business owners. Those are artisans that have their own trade already, which means this second demography, the mature singles, are people whose mates are parents already. There are those who used to be young singles years ago. If I have people who have been with us in those days as young singles, we're all in the Mingle with Single meetings. By the way, Mingle with Singles was tailored towards their needs. And it used to be our highest attendance program in those days. We took place second Saturday of every month. And we had a larger number in Mingle with Singles than our normal church service. Because they would come from all the place, come from different churches, different fellowships, because of a certain need we're meeting. Some of them, through that program, have decided to stay with us. So we have people who pass through all that and they're still single today. They are mature singles. And that happens. You know, just like what Reverend taught us that in March that I came to review earlier, that there are challenges and sometimes you pray for, you pray, you fast, it doesn't go away. It doesn't mean God is not interested in you or in your case or in your people. All right. So, for the mature singles, I found out ministry to them is a bit more sensitive. Before, I used to take all singles because, well, that was all the singles I knew, young people. But as time went by, I saw that you cannot be relating with the young singles the same way you are with the mature singles. You cannot be putting them in the same box. I shake them because I say, okay, they are unmarried. They are singles. There's a single who is 40 years old. There's another single who is 22. The 40-year-old could have been the mother of the 22-year-old if she gave birth in 100 level at 18. So we have a situation where we have single people in leadership who are leading married people that they are older than by almost 20, 15 years. So it's a very delicate ministry. And I'm still learning how to really pastor and handle that class of people. But I'm going to major on the younger ones. Really. The young singles. The very, very young undergraduate. My own biological children now are in that category. I look at the category of people I was pastoring in those days. And I remember one day, a few years after I started pastoring, a few years, in those early days, sometimes I was, God, this is only young people you want me to pastor for years and years and years. So one Sunday morning, I was teaching like this, and the person right in front of me was 15-year-old. I was 30. She was 15. I said, I'm double this person's age. I can, even if I had given birth in secondary school. But you see, in those days, I could very, very much become like them. And it worked a lot. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4:12 before I go on. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12. Paul was writing to a young pastor, Timothy. And to the young pastor, Timothy, he said that 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy, this is 2. This is 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So the pastor was talking to was a young pastor, and he said, be an example. Don't let anybody despise you because you are young. Be an example. Of course, he's talking to him about being an example to all cadres of believers. But you have to be an example to the young people themselves. If they see you as too old for them, they won't come to you. So to become like them, which Reverend has dealt with extensively when he talked the second key to numerical growth, becoming like your congregation. I heard him say something that you can become multiple things at different times to different people, or at the same time in different, you know, like they have three services here tailored to different demographies. The first service are to people who are above 40, 45. The next class is between 35 and 45 for parents with young children. So there's no children church during first service. No children's church during first service. During the second service, there's children's church. During the third service, no children's church too, because it's for singles. That's fantastic. That's a very beautiful way of reaching people. So in the first service, there's a way, Reverend, this last Sunday, I'm going to watch the... you said we should go and confirm. Now go and confirm. All the services on Facebook and YouTube. He wore suit. By the third service, he rolled up his sleeves. And that's one way of becoming like them, is to your dressing. It should be in a way acceptable to them. If you really want to reach young people, if every time is Buba and Shokoto, every time you know, they may just think you are old. It's not your age they are looking at. They will just think it's psychological. Pastor Felix may be older than I am. He may be 60. And I'm 40. But when he dresses like this to the front of young people, they will readily accept him and think that I'm older and he's younger. Psychologically, they want to listen to him. So sometimes some of the things that drive young people away from us is the way we appear to them. In trying to become like them, let's dress in a way acceptable to them. Somebody say, young people these days, they are using earrings. They are, what is it now? Dread. So I have to do dread. No, it doesn't mean you have to pierce your hair. And by the way, when they say that, in actual fact, what percentage of young people really do that? Just go to a campus, enter a classroom in a campus. You find out that maybe out of 200, maybe only 12 or 8 are dressing like that. So that's not exactly what we are talking about. We're not talking about going to their excesses. We're just talking about you appearing to them like then. Becoming like them, you need to speak a language they understand. Language they understand. I was very, 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 very King James-ish. I'm still very King James-ish. In my, you know, I want to just KJV. But when I started pastoring, I realized that there are some people who are also scholar. They like scholar in the Bible. But there are people you will not help if you do not break down your theological language into something they understand. You want to pastor young people. I remember when Facebook came, I'd already started pastoring young people before social media. So my first crop of young people, who are all parents today, scattered in different places. By the way, Pastor was talking about Japa. Somebody told me after service yesterday evening, somebody with a wife and four children, when I got home and I told my wife, I said, guess who again? No. Because one of our pastors just traveled last week, Wednesday. One of the young people that came to us 15 or 16 years ago as a pre-degree, he grew, he got married, he became a pastor in the church. We sent him to pastor one of those outreach campus churches we had. Then when we all came to Obantoko, we brought him back. He's been in the church. In fact, I call him the engine room of the church. He's the one. Last year, they gave me 1 year notice that they were going to leave. Finally, they left last week, Wednesday. The man with his wife and children. Another one just told me yesterday that they are going to leave too. So it's an ongoing thing, like Pastor said. And as people are going, people will be coming. In fact, the one that told me yesterday that they were leaving, I was already thinking, okay, you'll be able to fill some vacuum that this one left. Even yesterday, I was thinking that. If I just committed an assignment to him, it was our camp meeting coming, and he's doing it. And he just told me it's possible that they travel before the camp meeting this October. All right, so we need to speak the language they understand. We need to give examples that relate with them. Then preach messages. When we were pastoring a church for just singles, it was easier for us to just preach messages directed at them. But now, when we have people in the church and it's not only singles, and maybe we cannot yet copy the model of Rock Foundation. For Rock Foundation, it is easy to preach messages directed at them because the service is for them. If somebody comes for first service and is 25 years old, he should not blame the church or the pastor for preaching message that he doesn't understand. Because he knows that there's a time. Maybe he wants to travel and he feels, let me come for first service. He should just. But so it is easy to preach at them the message directed at them. But when not, then it is wisdom to create, or first of all, we must learn to be versatile. In a service, you have 50 people in the congregation. 15 are teenagers. And you have no special class for teenagers. Learn how to reach those teenagers in that same service. I had to learn those things by experience over the years. Maybe just veer off for 10 minutes strictly at them. Then come back and continue. And every week when they know that they will get something for them. But then there's also something that works, which we just started recently, is that after services days, for now we have just 1 week that is directed towards youth. We have a different one, teenagers. A different one, we have teenagers, then singles and youth, young people. Then there is men, women. So we say, well, because we look, how can we reach them and consistently talk to them about what they need? This coming Sunday, we need to reach teenagers. And we just decided, okay, there are 4 people amongst us who we are training. And we have a group. We have a WhatsApp group. I'm on that WhatsApp group. My wife is on that WhatsApp group. And the 4 people, one of them is the one that wants to Japan now. So we will discuss on the WhatsApp group. I've already put the outline there. Today is Thursday. This evening, we have a meeting on that WhatsApp. So we want to discuss those things. I think it's peer pressure. The topic is peer pressure. I told my wife to develop an outline for prayer. She did. She sent it to me. I looked through. I sent it to that group. So tonight, we're going to see how do we talk to these young people about peer pressure effectively. Because this coming Sunday, after the main service, as I was saying, by 11:15, by 11:30 to 12:30 is just for them. So, we found out since we started it, it's effective. They even enjoy it because they can talk, they can ask questions. And usually in such meetings for teenagers, my own children too are there, I disappear. I come once in a while. And then I go back into my office so they can express themselves. And I said, preach messages directed at them. Design programs specifically for them. I've talked about it. I said, we are thinking of bringing back that Mingle with Singles. What do we do there? Mingle with Singles was majorly relationship issues. Actually, we didn't plan it. It just so happened that when we were still like 2 years old, you see, because there are peculiar issues with that demography. When you're pastoring them, they have their peculiar issues. There are things you need to clean up. When they poo-poo, you need to clean up certain poo-poo. So during that period, you know, when you're also pastoring them, you need to identify those who can also galvanize the younger ones. You need to identify those who can be like leaders amongst them that can galvanize the younger ones, that can reach them. And that's what happened for us in the first year. So that by the time we were celebrating our first anniversary, we had about 70 of them in church. Because there was one person or two who were able to really galvanize the others. And so we found out that person, after a while, that person was involved in some immoral things. It was reported to me, and I had to deal with it. You know, discipline. Today, the person is a great man of God in one city. We love ourselves. But then I had to deal with the situation. I had to discipline. We had to handle it. It was not palatable. Half of the church left. That's a bit smiling. He was there all through. Half left. They were. So I now said, wait, we must be talking about this thing regularly. So that's what gave birth to that meeting we're having every second Saturday. I think it's 2006 or so, for more than 10 years of the month. And then we talk about relationships. How do you get into a relationship? What kind of things? Then we allow for question and answers. They were very hungry, very thirsty. You see genuine questions, genuine people come from all kinds of places. Later on, we train some of them. They will have talk show. Four of them will sit there. We'll have given them the topic to talk about. So it kept those people coming back. Some of them got married from that place today. So with time, when you design programs specifically for them, you will find them coming. I remember in those days too, some people will come to our church and they won't come again because it's young people there. Because we're not tailored to them. Then finally, if you really want young people to stay in your church, having done all this, like I said, maybe you could carve out a meeting. Also look for somebody if you feel they are looking at you as grandpa. Somebody you can continually train, pour into, or a group of people who they can easily relate with more than you. That 2016-17, I found out that because when we started, I would go to campus. I wear my jeans. Nobody would know I'm not even a student. But I found out after a while, when I go to campus, I'll be like, good afternoon, sir. Even people who didn't know me before. So I now, so some of my people that have been listening to me for 10 years, they were now also graduates. And I said, okay, you come. So I took them. When we now continue that meeting, I will teach for a little bit. I will stay back. They would continue. But somehow, the ball dropped somewhere along the line. Almost all those people have jackpot now. And we're reinventing that way. Finally, call young people by their name. Young people come to your church, know them, call them by their name. And need I say, please try and drop that religious garb and call them by their first names. Except it is culturally wrong where you are. It makes them feel, Pastor Mommy, Pastor Poruko, Pastor, call them by name, send them WhatsApp, SMS from time to time. How are you? What's going on? From time to time, send something, maybe airtime. How are you? I just feel like sending airtime. 500 airtime. It will so be excited. It shows that you care. And again, young people, can allow some form of you intruding into their lives more than, for example, at a time, some of those my young people came to me and said, "Pastor, so person, a female, that there's a guy now living with her, that a guy came that, and she's in church. It's her colleagues that came to tell me." So I said, "Okay, where's her house?" She said, "Live in camp." So I said, "Okay, take me to the place. When we get there, you don't worry, go and hide." They took me to her house. I knocked on the door. It was in the night. And a guy opened the door. I said, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" So I entered, she was there. So I called her name, by her name. I said, "What is it?" I spoke to her, I scolded her. Now, I wouldn't do that same way to a married person, you know. I will counsel the person. I won't go and meet the person in the hotel room and scold him. But I could do that. Initially, that lady ran away or something. I will call her again. I said, "Because I told you the truth." She ran. She's somebody that from home, her father is a deeper life pastor. But in school, they didn't know the kind of life she was. So I scolded her. She ran away. Then she ran away and graduated. One day, she called me. She graduated. I left. "Hey, Pastor, and this is facing this, something's happening." I just prayed with her. I loved her, like I said. Then she came back for masters and came back to church and became very committed in our church. All the while she was doing her masters and carried me along in her life, relationship, who she wants to get. So I found out that discipline, when they really realize that you love them, they will come back, appreciate you for it. All right, that's all I have to say.
Wow, thank you, Pastor Peace. Thank you so much. You know, I really love today trying to get down to not just gather people and just do what we need to do. It's beautiful. Permit us to just finish in the next few minutes, God helping us. One of the things you have to learn to do, okay, let me just share this with you. Like I said again, we have first service. People still come to that service that are not older. They still come. All right. And then, I also have service for teenagers. In fact, the hall up there is for teenagers. The first service, second service. Our new building, is not for show, was actually built for children. If you go to that floor there, we have all kinds of pictures on the wall. I still want to go and buy stuff that can help them, kind of a thing. When I was growing up, when I was a child, I didn't like going to church. You know, I mean, church care. But I want to make church. My granddaughter, when she came to Abeokuta, she started coming to church with us. See, she said, "It's church today. It's church today." That's amazingly, they're jackpot now. And then one day, they are going to church, and I said, "Made them go to church there. I want to go to church." She goes to midweek service now. My granddaughter, she's having through. So one day, my daughter was going with her and said, "Do you know that your grandpa is a pastor?" He said, "Yes, I was in his church." That's interesting. So make it a really wonderful experience for them. Let's quickly get through our stuff. And this one's talking about that exactly. Look at number 5 now. 7, the fifth key point to American growth is called personal care. Personal care. If you look at all this, let's go back to those churches. You are welcome, sir. How did the wedding go? I know you are not the best man. You are welcome. All right, they have to be somewhere else for something just to comfort, to become all things to all men. That's what they did. All right, no problem. Okay, look at all these vehicles. I want to look at something about those vehicles. There's something about all these vehicles. Each personal space is comfortable. Do you hear what I just said? If you imagine our services are like this, each personal space, if you enter that bus, you will see that it's comfortable. Like when I was growing up, I was born in Ivory Coast. I was coming from Ivory Coast to Nigeria to come to Nigeria. And I entered a truck called Jaggi. I don't know if you know Jaggi or called Jaggi. They use, you know, it's plank. for the seat. I sat on that for 5 days from Ivory Coast to Nigeria. When we get to the border, because we have passport, they put us inside the truck and covered us with tarpaulin, and I couldn't breathe for hours. Now, I couldn't imagine traveling like that now. You enter, that's why Nigeria is difficult. One time, I was South Africa one time, and they said we are going 7 hours journey, and I was dreading it. The roads are good. That's what makes abroad really wonderful. The network of the road, you can travel, you can go to church 3 hours away, 4 hours away. So networking is tough here. But if you see their vehicles there, well-balanced, you see them with a chair. If you enter the plane, the class depends on the chair. Or the seat, rather. So your church put people on first class by giving them personal care. You must come down and be attend. See, when I come to service like this, service is good. There's no crowd in church. There are people who have names and faces. Now, I'm very bad at names, at, you know, faces. But whoever engages me, I pay attention there. See, as a pastor, be there. Personal care. Every person is important. I mean, look at it. Jesus was going, crowd was following him, and Jairus just came, fell on his face. Oh, I didn't know you were even there. I was looking for you. Where's your wife? Oh, I didn't see you. All right. Okay. Personal. You know, just look at people. Where was that? Jairus just came and said, my daughter is at the point of death. Where is the girl? Not in the meeting. At home. Sick, dying. And Jesus dropped everything he was doing. And they headed for the house of Jairus. And the crowd were pressing. And Christ just stopped and said, somebody touch me. Huh? I used to lament. I said, Lord, I'm not like you. I cannot be like that. I'm crowd-minded. You can be individual-minded. Crowd, you think, how will I cope? But Jesus stopped and said, somebody touch me. Peter said, Lord, are you all right? He said, someone touch me. And the Bible said, he stopped. Start looking for her. Huh? It's like looking for a small beans in the midst of garawa of beans. And then saw her. And Jesus stopped to listen to her story. Till the baby died at home. It just stopped. You know, that's one thing that our country is lacking. One of my friends abroad was in a bus one day, traveling with some white people. Then the white people ask, where do you come from? Say, Nigeria. Say, don't go back there. They don't value life there. They want masses more than individuals. Years ago, there was a particular bank that was doing one customer bank in their advert, remember? Is he telling now? Yeah, and they said, what is your revenue? One person. How much? One person. And they said, are you crazy? He said, one person there, one person there, one person there. That's how we build this thing up. Each person. You know, Antichrist will give us number, but Christ gives us names. So, I want to plead with us that get personal care with people. I remember one of those services years ago. I was coming down, and a guy stopped me there and said, I'm not eating today. I'm just tired of life. I said, you're going to eat. He said, amen. I said, I'm not praying. I put my hands in my pocket. I said, yeah, go and eat. Go take her out, let her go and eat, and then come back. Let's look at that word, care. C-A-R-E. How do you do it practically? Give me that word, C-A-R-E, on the screen. How do you do practical care? How do you personal care to people? How do you personally care for people in church? How do you? They will hear you. Oh, I heard of one of my friends, a man of God today, is a bishop. When he was not a bishop, he was just a young man. He was in Lagos, and he went to this church. If I mention the person's name, all of you know him, one way or the other. He was saying, an orator. Ah! He said, that man of God preached so well. And this young man, that's not a bishop, was in the church. And he said, after the man finished preaching, he ran up to say, oh, you just bless me today. He said, the way he looked at him as if he was nobody. It hit him. He told us. So, you must always, everybody who comes, even when they look tattered, you should pay more attention. Because James said that it is for you sinful to put the rich well-dressed and then the one shabbily dressed. He said it's a sin. Be very careful. So when I see somebody who is weak, vulnerable, not be able to speak well, I stop because heaven is watching. How I'll treat the person. Are you hearing me? And that's what involves. One time I had a bad day and I said, I want only the children with me. Everybody started laughing. I said, you know what? I am more afraid of your children than you. They said, what? I said, Jesus said, if you offend any of these little ones, they should put medicine and then go and drop you in the sea. Let's look at that word. C-A-R-E. C stands for call. Call. Like Pastor P said, call. Call their names. Hey, hello. What's your name? Shake their hands. One day I did something very strange in the service. We cut cake. We do bad day every month. I'm not a bad day person, but for their sake. We turned this place. You know why we built this place, part of our church? You know this place, why we put this there? So I've been occupied by chairs. You know why we left this place open? This is people's assembly. This place, every month, we cut cake here. And anybody who has their bad day that month comes to the altar to participate in the altar. And they come over here and they will cut cake and we all rejoice and sing with them. Why do we do that? So that they can get one woman. See, I had this. She came to tell us one time and I was almost crying. He said she was attending one church and one day she went to church with a particular cloth and the pastor really abused her. See the way you are looking. See what you are wearing. Then I think she went to my side crying. She didn't go back there again. So somebody invited her to our church. And that happened to be a month of her birthday. And then she was not well dressed that day. And then she came to church and we said, all those who are born in this month, come forward and come and cut cake. And we give you the cake. You take the cake home. Oh. And then she got up and she said, maybe my clothes. And she marched through here. I didn't even see any clothes. You know, marched up here. And then she cut the cake, or the rest of the people, and she took the cake, and she was weeping on the way home. That somebody cared enough to remember her bad day. So, number one, call. Call. As a pastor, sometimes this happens to us. People surround us after service like that. They surround us. And those who are old faithful, are you remember? Old faithful people, old faithful. I'm a little bit helped because I have different services. Those who are older, attend to them, second service and third service. When I come to the last service, youth and singles, I come in, we eat, we church pay for the food. We eat every Sunday, youth and singles, we eat donuts and drinks. The offering is not up to that. But I don't care the older one, we pay for it. Their children anyway, their children are there. You know? So I will sit down and then we have question and answer. Ask me anything, even who born God. And you know my answer? Don't worry, when we get to heaven, let's just get to heaven first. When we get to heaven, we'll find out who born God. But let's just get to heaven first, you know, we just do great to ourselves. So call them, just touch them, just ask them questions. How are you doing? What? So call. Don't be too far from people, particularly those who are strange in our midst. If you're going to increase your church number, start looking at those who are on the brink, on the fringe. Are you hearing me? And walk up to them. Shake their hands. Oh, I never seen you before. What are you doing here? That person, you shake their hands. That hand will take it to them and be looking like this. And you are just an ordinary person. So start really having that investment in calling. Number two, assist them. Assist. Always be an assistant. Be a PA for everybody in your church. What do I say? Pastor, me PA, I have PAs. Let your PAs help them. Hello. So be a person who assists. Oh, like I told you, the person who was going to church for the first time, got over there, was stranded, where to go. I just said, hey, which service are you? Oh, you are here. See, this is the way. Come down here. And I was telling him to come down. What do I do? I won't say I'm the big boss here. No. So please do that. Assist them. So then we come to church. They didn't even have anything to eat. We distribute food. Rice, they have women's meeting that they will distribute food. If you don't have anything to eat, pick something. Pastor, where do you get money to get all this? I don't know. We just buy them. We start buying small. We start increasing more and more and more and more. And we just keep on doing that. Praise God. Pastor, don't they lie to you? Don't they are not wicked. They can be. We had one last time. We were helping her and she stole my wife's phone in church. And we caught her. And I said, take her to the police station. Let her spend one night there so she will know that she will not steal anymore. So assist. Don't always be thinking about yourself. I don't have enough money. I'm not. You are here. You are the driver. Are you hearing me? And the drivers will carry people. If you enter a vehicle that is going to Lagos and the guy is nice to you, you may like to take his number next time to come and carry you and take you. Am I right? Okay. Okay. Then number R. Relate. I know we pastors want to be in the Holy Ghost all the time. Relate. Your services are so important. What you need, your service is so important. You're coming down, you're talking to people, you're doing things, and I meet them. My wife is, you see, thank God for good wives. My wife is powerful with remembering names, people, something. Me, I'm not that so good at it. Maybe I should tell her, come and share now. She does this well. And she does that. Like now, for instance, my wife likes to take care of things, physical food, like food for these pastors now. I don't care who about the food. Just get the food down here, we can eat. So thank God I have a complimenting wife. Can you clap for my wife right now? Praise God. So, she doesn't have to be able to preach like you. She was not preaching. She still preached, but she did a lot of things. Like now, next Sunday, you know, things are difficult. Now, food is expensive. Next Sunday, we are eating in church. Join service. Don't come. You are a pastor. Stay in your church. I just said, church is paying for everything. Church is paying for everything. Pastor, why? Daddy Free said that in the New Testament, they have some time, they take their tithe and they eat it. That's not true. It's in the Bible. They take some tithe. Check it. It's in Deuteronomy. They went to the temple, their tithe. They converted it to food. They ate. And they ate their tithe. And their offering. Not in their house, but in church. So we took our tithe and offering, and we're going to eat it in church. Diesel is so expensive now. I said, we are going to buy diesel, fill it up, and put on all the AC. At least in the midst of all this Tinubu, you know, now that's not me by nature. That's not me by nature. I'm identifying with them. By nature, food. Bad day. I don't do bad day. They force me to do bad day. And I escape. I said October 1 is Sunday, so that day I'll cut my cake. And somebody in our midst is October 1. I said I'm going to cut my cake with the person. See, you start sharing. You start loving. Look, if I'm not a pastor, this is what I would do. Because we are called to love. Hallelujah. Love is what identifies Christians. So that last one, encourage. Always encourage people. Always encourage. Oh, how are you going? What's happening? You have not gotten the house yet. Oh, no, don't worry. God's going to get us the house. Oh, you missed that interview. They didn't pick you. Oh, God's going to help us. Don't worry. Something better is coming. You're always preaching. You're always preaching to individuals. Are you hearing me? My wife just packed out. Oh, can we go and see her? That's what you do as a pastor. You become everybody's servant. That's what we should be. You know, what about a job? Okay, let's see what we can do. We should be running errands for Jesus, for his people. Look at chapter 4, verse 6, 7 Corinthians. Everybody look at this verse in the Bible. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Quickly, let's move to the next one. But let's read this verse. Call, assist. In fact, I have a group in church called Care Group. That's what they do. They call, assist, relate, encourage. Hallelujah. Chapter, okay, 4, verse 6. Okay, is that verse 6? Okay, let's look at the verse before this verse. Okay, yeah, verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but who? So who do we preach on the pulpit? Not ourselves. Now, but and ourselves, your what? Wow. Your eru for Jesus' sake. I believe that the greatest honor of a pastor is that you serve people. And they will travel, go somewhere, they still remember you. And send their friends and their mummies and their aunties to you. Praise God. And they remember, maybe somebody's coming to town, they say, oh, go to that church. They take care of you over there. Hallelujah. So personal care, the personal space. Let's look at the number six. Mm-hmm. To do all this, give us all the list. First one on the list. Can you give us the list again? Your services as key to your numerical growth. Number two, become like them. Become all things to all men. Number three, love in the atmosphere. Number four, give up ownership. Jesus is the owner. Number five, personal care. Now, number six. Now, this I'm going to say now may sound a little bit way out. If all this will take place, the pastor is the critical person there. Nobody else can do this for you, not your assistants. To make this happen, you have to be the chief evangelist officer in this year to evangelize this in your church. You cannot just say department of Kenya Manager. So as a pastor yourself, listen to me now. Number six is your personal preparation. Your personal what? Preparation. You must be oiling yourself. You must be preparing. You must be fit to do all this together. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Now, to keep doing this, because we get tired. See all these companies in town. After a while, they become old. One company usually struck me in this town. If I tell you, all of you know it. How many of you know Precious Pharmacy? Almost everybody knows. She's never gotten tired. She's just still opening more. She's just still going more. She's a Christian married to a Muslim. She's redefining herself. She keeps going. Some other ones are falling out. They don't last. So, the only way, that's why I don't like to have revival in my church. I don't want to die before you revive me. I want to keep on being alive. Are you hearing me? It's not sweet taste, buwa, ati bube, inkati bajelo. Let me make you laugh. I heard this from a man of God, I won't forget. He said there was this man that he was very rich. So he prayed, Lord, revive me. And he lost everything he had. So he got serious spiritually. And then he got serious with God. And then he started making money again. And when he started making money again, he started going down spiritually again. And he prayed a second time, Lord, revive me. Then, Kavakata lost everything again. So he got serious again. Third time, he said, God, don't revive me. I'll revive myself. Together. That means that you have to have a way. Now, that's why some of you over here, you don't like me. I'm not available for everything in town. I cannot maintain the pace of being a PRO and do what I need to do. I cannot be focused on many things and do well. Paul said, this one thing I do, not 50 things I dabble into. I live my life all around. What I'm going to tell you now, personal preparation. I live for this game every day. Like Messi, Ronaldo, it's all football. He's practicing, he's thinking. When he's eating, it's football. When he's sleeping, it's football. When he wakes up, it's football. And when he dies, you go to the heaven of football. How do you get yourself ready? How do you constantly prepare yourself? You see, revival is that you are dry and you are found in the wilderness. And somebody come and water you. But personal renewal is like a man planted by the rivers of water that's always bringing forth his fruit. Is that all right? So what I'm going to say to you right now, Peter or Paul told Timothy how to maintain that personal continuous engine running. 2 Timothy 3 verse 14. Take a look. This is the last book that Paul wrote before he died. And he was sharing his secret with his protege, Timothy. Now, look at this. He told his son, Timothy, in the Lord, but you must continue. You must, that word continue, Doesn't only mean in quantity, but in quality. I want to be, the next thing I'm going to preach, I want to be fresh. When I want to pray, one man told me years ago, I won't forget this. He told me this. He said, I was attending one church before. He said, I left there. He said, my pastor lost it. He said, those days, my pastor, wherever service, when he holds the microphone, you can sense the change in the air. But after a while, it's gone. I said, Lord, I don't want to be that. Another man of God told me something. He said, human beings, the way they see you, they're like an orange. They keep squeezing you until the juice is coming out. When you stop bringing the juice, they discard you. And I told myself, I will never stop bearing fruit. God is going to help me. So I do whatever it takes. Shut things down. Don't go anywhere. I focus my life around Jesus. Growing. So he said, you must continue. How do you do that? Look at next verse. And that from childhood, you have known the holy scriptures. Sorry, some of us over here. We have not known the holy scriptures. We have known holy men. We have known ministries. We have known men. We have not known scriptures. So it's difficult for us to actually maintain consistent life. He said, which are able to make you wise, fit for salvation through faith. He said, you have known the holy scriptures. See, my whole life is around the Bible. My whole life. Either I'm going to read or I finish reading. I'm doing something else. I'm coming back there. My whole schedule is around prayer and the Bible. Everything else I go and do and come back there. I go pray, I do things, I remember. But Bible and prayer is not part of my schedule. It's my schedule. Other things are part of it. See, even when I'm in service, like I'm thinking, when am I going to finish to go and read my Bible and pray? I don't think like, it's today. If you see my schedule of prayer and reading my Bible, it's difficult. And I'm not measuring up. I'm still trying to. That way, you will not have chance to mess up. Even when you mess up, you know what to do. I mess up, of course, now, but I claim I mess with the word of God. Imagine I mess up now, and I read, if you confess your sins, it's faithful and just, I confess, and I move on. Look at next verse. All scriptures, including Leviticus, is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? For teaching, for reproof, for correction. Don't wait till that man of God come and correct you. Be self-corrected in the word of God. Keep proving, keep improving yourself, keep breaking your own record. He said, for reproof, give us an NLT. This verse in NLT. Maybe we'll make it clearer for us. Quickly. But next verse, verse 15. Thank you, my guys. You have been taught the next verse, verse 16. Thank you. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Look at next verse. And God uses, what's the it there? To prepare and equip his people to do every work. So let God use that book in your hand to prepare and equip you. Make the Bible your reference point. Let it be where you do. Look at Jesus. Wow. The devil met him. He said, it is written. Am I right? If you look at Jesus' life, from his birth, it was scriptures. Bible said the mother was told by the angel, you'll give birth to a son. And then the father said, I'm not too sure. God said, it's written. That a woman will compass a child, a virgin, will have a child, right? Right? After he was born, the wise men came looking for him. They said, where can we find him? Let's find him in the scriptures. He said he was born in Bethlehem, Judah. And then when the wise men came, and then Herod said they'll kill him, God said to the angel, go take him to Egypt. For it's written in the prophet, I'll bring my son from Egypt. And then when they came back from Egypt, God said, go to Nazareth. He said, they call Nazarene. It is written. When he went to meet the devil, he didn't say, in me, Lord, Lord, say, fire. No. He said, it is written. When he got to his hometown to preach, he asked for the book of Isaiah. He said, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. One of my leaders said something to me. He said, Reverend, whatever he wants to do, he will find it in the scriptures. If I see anything in the Bible, I don't care who you are. That's what I'm going to hold on to. So I don't live on the latest things in the body of Christ. I live latest things from the body, from the Word of God. Thank God for fathers. I have fathers, I respect them. But the Word of God is, I listen to that more. So, preparing yourself. Look here, don't worry about your failure and success. Just bury yourself in the Word of God. When you are doing well, read. When you're not doing well, read. My least time of reading the Bible is Sunday, and I don't like it. Because you are busy. So I'll get up. I have things I schedule. I'm a few, read only one daily manner. I have about 20 daily things I read. I'm now, because it's too much, I call it about around 4 or 5 now. I'm not finished. I have to come this morning. I've not finished it yet. So I'm going back to go and finish it. That's where I live my life. I'm thinking, what next book? What books? The books I got in the last 3, 4, 5 months, they are more than the books I've gotten before. I got books that are over 12 gig. Books, e-books. And I got them. I still got one yesterday. One of my leaders is having a job that's struggling with some things. I had to go and look for a book, give it to him, tell him to beat them for his. That's why people come to our church. People that are running things, I don't do it on pulpit. I help them with materials. Are you hearing me over here? So always prepare yourself. Be in the Word. Look at this. Acts 6 verse 4. Let's round up quickly. Number 7. Is there food around? Samuel, help me call. We should eat and get out of here. Today has been quite long. But should we finish the 7? Let's finish the 7. One time, Paul was preaching in Acts. He preached so long, one boy fell down that they woke him up. I like this. I like this. Look at the screen. But we will give ourselves continually. Let's have it in NLT. I like what NLT said. Where's NLT? That then we apostles. Tell yourself, me apostle. Can spend our time in prayer and in teaching the Word. We continually give ourselves. Give us NKJV back. We dedicate ourselves. Give up yourself to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. That is, if you are going to have numerical growth, you must prepare yourself. Because anything can happen. Anything. God can bring any boy to church, any guy to church. God can bring next Sunday a madman to your church. What are you going to do? You better read up a madman or gathering and ask that devil, what is your name? Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So I want to plead with us. Prepare yourself. Joshua 3 verse 5. In King James Version. Take a look at this. Hallelujah. 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 Joshua 3 verse 5. King James Version. What did they say? And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves today, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Sanctify doesn't just mean you don't use mascara. It means set yourself apart to prayer. And to the Word. Keep doing that all the time. Even if you have no growth, it doesn't matter. Look here, prepare yourself that today, if God brings you 1,000, you can handle them. And he brings you 1, you can handle them. Are you hearing me? But it can't happen without you preparing yourself. And prepare for your services. The best way to prepare for your service is not to do what I call defensive preparation. Clamor Sunday by you. Lord, give me word. Then you don't get the word. Stay around God all the time. You will see what to say 3 months' time, 2 months' time. What will you say in that meeting? A lot of time, I don't prepare sermons. I don't. I just spend time in the Word of God and it just comes to me. It just come to me. Say this. For instance, I woke up around 3 o'clock this morning, preparing. And as I was getting ready for this meeting, I knew something was just not there. So I just sensed the Lord said, kneel down by your bed. I said, Lord, it's late and it's dark. Kneel down in the dark. You know, finally, I got up. And I laid down by my bed. And I started praying. That's when I saw the car, the transportation, when I was kneeling down. He said, I want to show you that services, they are like vehicles. You are transporting them. And then I'm the owner. You are the driver. I can do cross-referencing. I won't find a car inside the Bible. I can do cross-referencing till tomorrow. There's no car in the Bible. Nobody can in the Bible. Come on, me. Praise God. Praise God. Now, the last one. This one is wounding. Aha! The Lord asked me, I should tell you this. It's not me. The Lord looking below you. Number 7. Why do you want growth? What's your personal motive? The Lord said, I should tell you. Some people like you have come to me, asked for growth. After a while, they left the growth. They walk away. Particularly, we Pentecostals don't care about people. We can walk away from church and say, the Lord told me, go somewhere else anytime. Why should God gather crowd around you and just walk away like that? That's not fair on the Lord and not fair on the people. So, are you going to be here for a while? Or just want to go and do something else? You got a platform for your ministry, go do that. Don't pray for the Lord to increase you. It's not fair to raise, to have children in the house and don't attend to them. I'm not against people leaving ministry and go somewhere else. But please, can I plead with you? If you're going to be a pastor, be a pastor. And be there for long. The Lord asked me a question. The pastor in the Bible, the first pastor in the Bible, it was 40 years, Moses, as a pastor. Joshua, same thing. David, shepherd, 40 years on the throne. After 10 years, he wanted to do something else. And abandon God's people. And he started wandering around like sheep without shepherd. It's becoming really painful. Today, Africans are the least shepherded in the world. They are the least pastored in the world. The moment we become big, we start having titles to go somewhere else. I told him when I was coming, I said, if you want to reach the whole world, don't pastor. Stay with, go reach the whole world. But if you're going to pastor people, people need pastoring today and they need to be there and take care of them. You're going to have to commit. Why should God give you? Why should God give you people? Why should God give you children if you don't take care of them? I'm going to be there for them. You're a father forever. One day God told me, he said, you're a father forever. Like me, everlasting father. My children still need my attention. They still call me. Even those who are married, they call me. What do you do? Somebody was telling me something. I said, okay, I'll be there. I'll try and see what I can do. That's what it is. But you just want to pastor a church and then put others to run it. Let me show you the verse. John 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11. Let's talk about our motive in pastoring. If God never increase your church by one more person, will you serve those who are there? Will you give your life to these animals? The only way that David convinced Saul that he can kill Goliath is that I killed the lion and the bear for the sheep and nobody clapped for me there in the bush. Some of you are looking for promotion. Get out of ministry. Go somewhere else. Go and join evangelism. Go around the world. You want to be promoted. You want to become a big man of God. Leave pastoring. You see, women don't like having children. It's difficult and tough. Am I right, man? You just marry one away. Am I right? After feeding, after clothing, bam. But let me just snatch him away. Pastor, please just labor on the guy, japa, and we'll take this person again. Aren't you tired? No, we cannot be tired. So if you want to pastor, just want to gather, so can you platform, so you can reach your ministry, so you can have more money to show yourself, Jesus will frustrate you. Jesus himself will frustrate you. Are you hearing me? Because where the world is going is so critical. The demands in our world today, life is so tough that we can't play game anymore with ministry. People need help and we must be there. Do you know what? The Lord showed me this. He said, this verse I gave you is very critical. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as what? Now, the Lord said to me, if you want to have money, go to the bank. If you want good health, go to the hospital. If you want everything well, go to church. Because in church, your soul will be taken care of. And your soul is your source of prosperity and health. Are you hearing me? Don't forget that you are more than a banker. You are more than a doctor. You are actually taking care of the source of their prosperity and their health in this present world. And as a pastor, God, Hebrews 13 verse 17. So before I start asking for increase, know what you are asking for? Oluwa, if you come wa, more wala niyo. You know, my children, they're not having grandchildren. One of them called my wife. He said, bye-bye, go to your son. He's calling the baby, bye-bye, go to your son. Because when you have a baby, you can't sleep at night. Huh? You know. Then my first granddaughter, she wanted to have a baby. She got a dolly. She got a dolly. Many of you want dolly. So got dolly, then the father was joking with her. The baby was crying in the night. He said, I forgot to wake up. It was not a real cry. It was baby cry. Baby have a dolly cry. Pastoring, I know that you want to fly plane. You want to enjoy. But you're going to have to hear news. You have to calm down. So, if you're going to pastor, be a real pastor. God has spared our fathers to do whatever they like. Become big. But that season is going. That season is going. It's looking for heart of pastors today. Look at your Bible. Okay. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your soul as those who must. So if it's 10, you have less account to give you. If it's 1,000, so can you pray from growth? Can you slow down? It's the last one. I want to bring it because I know say the last one. So everybody can just sunki. Balance our wadada. I want church to grow. I want church to grow. Let's go to John 10, verse 11, quickly. Let's round up. It's our last point. Key, are you really sure of what you want? John 10, verse 11, quickly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd, what does he do? Gives his life for the sheep. They are not ornament for him to show. They are those who will lay down his life for. Young Chu, one time he said, Lord, I'm tired. Emi ni koni. God said, Iwoni. 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 Next verse. But a hireling, he who is not the true shepherd, one does not, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Keep us in NLT. It will come home more in NLT. From verse 11, it will come home more. Give us an NLT. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Next verse. And a hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. A hireling is looking for money and fame. So if you are looking for money from pastoring, you are going to suffer. Because not everybody will give you money. Are you hearing me? I know you don't like me anymore. They're going to give you gift too. They're going to give you money. But if you're thinking of money, be ready for that. If you are thinking of children giving you money, be ready for growing up in your house, feed them, send them to school for primary school, how many years? KG plus 8 years, in secondary school, 6 years, making 40, then university, public school, 6 plus X, 20 years, and then these days, masters, before they leave your house, you are in trouble if you are looking for money from children. But it will increase you, and God will expand you. And when they begin to help you, it's beyond measure. God will make people give money to church, because when you pour spirit into them, they pour money back. Are you hearing me? So, I want to plead with us. Last one. Why do you want growth? Just to be big, to have a building like this, so that we can go ahead in town, become, have a jeep, have a plane, have all those things. Thank God for all those things, but they are not our reason. That's for a hireling. Hireling is more concerned about that. You should read this one as I close. Philippians 2 verse 19. Philippians 2 verse 19 in NLT. Philippians 2 verse 19. Do you want to grow a church? Philippians 2 verse 19 NLT. Thank you, my guys. God bless you. Philippians